much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Warning. What you are about to witness are stunts performed by experienced professionals. Do not try this at home.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oh, speaking of Halloween, are you dressing up this year?
I'm in a smarch.
Because I'm going to be Mitt Rom Mummy. I call it. You can't steal it.
Why wouldn't you be Mitt Zombie?
Because I'm an idiot. Oh, come on, Liz. Think for like 1 second before you buy all that gauze.
I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything.
What an unbelievably unpleasant person.
You guys won an award for your show? Really? Have they listened to you at all?
Is there anything I could expect out of the ordinary? I'm sure there is, but maybe like you can hint to something. I can't wait till Friday.
And now.
I'll make coffee. You also make coffee. After the coffee contest, we'll start working.
Our feature presentation.
This is a vacation, still different than vacation tips. Tips.
Come on, Kevin, where are you? What now? What's going on, beer mug?
I don't know. Dave got a call on the red line, and Kevin said he was running a little behind, a little five minutes behind.
Well, in his defense, he was here on Monday and Tuesday on time.
That's so. True.
That's quite a streak. So, how are you, Lisa? How was your cream pie last night?
Oh, my God. And I know you're saying that in a sexual way, but I made
a Boston
cream pie. Well, the tweets that I got after I put the picture up certainly were.
Well, you can't tweet that it's my boyfriend's birthday and I'm giving him a cream pie.
Boston cream pie.
Well, whatever variation you've made on that sexual position. But what I'm saying is, the fact is, you invited it when you invoked cream pie.
I couldn't help it. It was such a beautiful thing. I had to share it with everybody. It was amazing.
Was it low calorie, Lisa?
Heck no. I added up the, I actually put all the ingredients to Live Strong to see how many calories it was. And 1/10 of that was like 650 calories.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wrong.
I used like 10 tablespoons of butter, cup and a half of sugar. Oh my God, it was delicious.
I bet it was. Good times. Yeah. I hope you brought in a piece for beer mug. I hope you did the right thing for his diet.
I brought the whole half. Half of pie.
Mugs, it would be insulting if you didn't try.
I know, it's homemade. I slaved away. It took me half a day to make that thing.
Maybe we can freeze it.
I'm sad that Kevin is not here today because he would have really enjoyed this story that I'm about to do for you. His name is Timothy Doner. Kevin would hate this kid so much. He's 16 years old, and he has a special skill, Lisa May, that landed him on the Today Show this week. I think you guys will enjoy this clip.
Some of you watching right now may be able to speak a second or even a third language, but what about 23? Well,
no.
23?
Yes. 23 languages.
He's
16 years old.
A photographic memory?
That's one of the questions that they ask him. He has taught himself, well, I assume somebody taught him English as when he started, but he has taught himself, and I guess they'll get into it in the piece here, Hebrew, Arabic, Russian, Italian, Farsi, Swahili, the list goes on and on and on. Check him out.
3. Well, 16-year-old Tim Doner can. Here's a small sample of the polyglot's unique talent.
چون چون عربی میدونم ولی هرگز رسما نگرفته بودم.
ها خجبی که لارا.
اندگی کنده آن و او.
کنش الفصحة.
منوگ خود نشین یخ یادم.
شرینی، ثلاثینی، ربعینی.
لی ما برس بلاس.
Tim Doner is with us now.
Crazy.
Why would you do this to-
That was a montage, basically, of his YouTube video clips that he put up of him speaking all the languages. So Matt Lauer's first question is, why would you do this to us? Which is exactly how we all feel. Whenever we see a guy with no arms and no legs who climbs Everest or something like that, or we see this kid speaking his 23 languages, it's funny that our first inclination is not to go, good for you. That's awesome that you were able to do all that. The first thing we all think is, you're bringing down the curve. You're making the rest of us look bad.
Yes, absolutely. We hate you.
Hey, monkey.
Hey, don't talk to me like that.
Talking about this kid that speaks 23 languages. He's 16 years old.
Oh, F him.
See what I mean?
Yeah, 23 languages.
So first question for Matt Lauer of the Today Show is, why are you doing this to us?
To us. Why would you make us look so bad? Where do you even find time to do this?
Very good question. You know, like any other academic interest, you make time for it, I think. Of course, I dedicate most of my summers to learning languages and most of the time on the weekends.
Do you hear this kid? He's dork. 16, by the way.
What a dork. He doesn't have a single friend.
I don't know if that's true. By the way, In case you're wondering, he taught himself via grammar books and a flashcard application on his iPhone.
But listen to him. He sounds perfect.
He sounds 40, right?
I mean, his. No, I mean, when he's speaking English, he sounds 40. Languages, he's got the. And the, yeah. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah, he does have a particular skill for it, that's for sure.
But it's just something that I can almost follow passively.
Do you just have a lucky brain, or did your parents or your schools do something specific that, to elicit this aptitude?
Another great question, by the way. Again, the first reaction when you see anyone who's accomplished anything extraordinary is to go, screw you, why do you make me feel bad? And the second thing is, it's got to be luck, right? It can't be hard work.
Well, it is. It
clearly
is. Clearly,
you're just luck.
There is
right?
a talent there, for that.
There, he was.
That some people have and some people don't.
Some people are better at it than others. Most of us, if we tried as hard as he did, could not learn 23 languages.
No.
Well, he's teaching himself languages to a fluency level in like, 3 weeks, too.
Yeah.
Which right. Is that's just, absurd.
It's crazy, right?
But yes.
Crazy.
You know, what, you know what's not happening? The phone ringing and somebody asking him to do something.
Well, maybe he doesn't care,
That's
Kevin.
That's not what's happening.
He looks happy, though. He looks like a regular, happy, well-adjusted teenager. All right, let's hear what he says to that to question.
I don't think so. And I get asked that question very often. Is this some sort of innate, mm-hmm. brain neurological capability? But I think it just takes a lot of dedication, interest, organizational skills. It's really something that I think anyone can do. There's no nothing special about me.
Just curious, do you have a photographic memory, though? Because I think that would probably help in something like this.
I'm actually not sure. I've also been asked that question a lot. I think it is very easy for me to remember things, and most of the time when I'm speaking in a foreign language, I'll see the script in front of me, which is very helpful. So
I would imagine that's kind of like a photographic memory,
it's kind
right?
of the definition.
Oh, f*** you.
Yeah, that if you worked as hard as me, you could do this. That's complete BS.
This is not true.
Now I hate him.
I do think it's funny, by the way, that he lives in New York City, and one of the ways that he practices his many languages is he hops in taxi cabs, because he's going to get somebody who speaks one of those other languages, no matter what cab he gets in. So he doesn't know, but when he slides into the back seat, if he's going to be speaking Arabic this time, or he's going to be speaking Indian, or what?
I can't speak one language.
Yes. That's how I feel, too. I mean, I feel you could spend your whole life trying to master English and get it right, and that would be an accomplishment. Yet, and then people who speak a second and even a third language are impressive to me.
What a dork.
You don't have any respect for him at all?
No.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'm impressed.
As a mental oddity, yeah.
But no, it is completely impressive. But
you want to go have a beer with that guy?
He's kind of being a jerk about
no,
it.
No, you don't. You don't want to have
no,
a beer
but
with
I want
guy.
To hear him order that beer in 23 languages.
Yes, I do too.
I think that'd be cool. So anyway, that's Timothy Doner. And there is there's a piece in the New York Times website, by the way, about a whole group of these people who learn multiple languages. It's really fascinating.
23
some people are
just fluently.
Super into it.
Fluent.
Yeah.
23.
Yes.
Yeah, that is stunning.
Later on in the Today Show piece, they hand him a paragraph and that he hasn't seen before, and they ask him to speak it in Farsi just to test him, and of course he does it. So,
do they have anyone who speaks Farsi to make sure he does it?
No, they point that out. He could be saying anything and they wouldn't know.
But
they took his word for it.
Wow, that's good. It doesn't sound like English. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No.
On the show today, we have Tara. Who is a professional wing girl.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
It's a girl to go with you to a bar, and then that'll impress other girls at the bar, and then she'll go up and make an introduction. For some reason, she can't be with you, but what a catch you are. And
right.
She'll talk you up to the other women in the bar.
You think she could get our little 16-year-old friend Timothy Doner a chick?
Oh, God, no. No, that's not possible. We also have Alistair Overman. Overeem. Am I saying that right?
I think it's Overeem,
yeah. I'm sorry, I can't read Dave's writing. But, he's going to be in studio, and he is...
Is he the guy that's 6?
Well, he's about 8'8".
8'8"?
And about 600 pounds.
Wow.
And you're going to kick his ass, right?
Yeah, I heard him say that yesterday
in the office. If I have to, I will. I mean, I do what I have to do.
This is only his second UFC fight coming up in May, by the way.
Yeah, he was a K-1 champion for a long time.
Yeah, and he did... Pride and Strike Force and all that, and now he's a UFC, and he's a top contender already.
He brought Brock Lesnar down in one kick.
Yeah, he kicked Brock Lesnar kind of in the rib and kind of hit his liver, and Brock just fell to the ground.
No kidding.
And Brock is a monster.
Did he explode his liver?
Who knows? I mean, he literally had to quit.
Oh
he couldn't
God.
Fight anymore after one kick. It was crazy.
Wow.
So I'll take him on. What do I care? And also today, we are going to take your phone calls on a topic that we talked about yesterday. We brought in Casey, who has her finger on the button here, so to speak. And
it's also not a euphemism like right. Lisa's cream pie.
And she really hates it when couples sit on the same side of the table. That drives her crazy. Why not sit across from each other? That way you can have a conversation. You sit next to each other, you can't have a conversation.
I think she thinks it's icky.
Could be.
Like,
I don't
they're
know.
Too, they're too... They're being too demonstrative of their affection
but
or something.
But you know what's odd about it is that it's one of those things that I've never given a second thought to. I've mm-hmm. never even considered, hey, wouldn't it be better if they sat across from each other? It just doesn't even enter your mind.
Because it doesn't affect you. That's why.
Right.
Because
anyway.
You don't care. And unlike Casey, you're able to get a partner.
That is the theme.
That is the theme. So anyway, that's coming up this morning as well on the Kevin and Bean.
You guys are jealous, but you know what I'm doing right now that you're not?
Whatever it is, we're not jealous.
Watching Major League Baseball, ladies and gentlemen. First game of the season is on right now.
Boy, was Kevin ever right.
Somehow we're not jealous.
What's the opposite of jealous?
Going into the top of the 11th inning at the Tokyo Dome right now. Mariners and Athletics are playing. Game one. Baseball's here. This is official. This is a game that counts. The season has begun. This is fantastic, you guys.
Oh, you.
Dodgers got sold. See that?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about teams that are playing right now, not teams that are going to be playing in a week.
Yeah, but we're talking about a team anyone cares about. And yet, it's in the category of baseball.
You should be happy we're just right. talking about baseball.
Right.
Top of the 11th.
All right, don't care.
Oh, God.
Don't care. Back don't care. You. Don't care.
Sucks so much.
No other updates needed. Thank you. All good.
I'll break in if anything happens.
I wish there was some sort of disaster that would happen.
Oh, only at the baseball field?
Only at the baseball field.
Yeah. Japan has suffered enough.
They have
not Japan, just the players.
Just a really centralized earthquake or some sort of meteor strike or, I don't know, the hand of God or something. Just send a message. Just no.
The message is a sold-out crowd at the Tokyo Dome watching baseball. That's the message. This is happy
time for the
times.
Showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, it's finally going to happen. Just announced yesterday by the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce. Next week, April 5th, which I believe is a Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right, yeah.
Adam West will receive his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Look at that.
Ceremony is going to be at 6764 Hollywood Boulevard, and it starts at 11:30 a.m. We invite everybody to come out and see it happen. Speakers for the event will be Seth MacFarlane, of course, creator of Family Guy. Adam is, of course, Mayor Adam West of Quahog, Rhode Island.
How'd they come
show?
Up with that name, Ralph?
How'd they come up with Mayor Adam
Mayor
West?
Mayor Adam West?
I believe it was suggested by me.
Hmm.
No, obviously it's a spoof on his long span career. And other speakers include, radio personality Ralph Garman will also be inducting Adam into the Hall of Fame.
If you don't know what Ralph looks like, he'll be the guy that's sobbing.
How dare you, sir?
In a Batman costume. You got to wear your Batman costume.
Kicks today, off right? at 11:30 a.m. Thursday, April the 5th.
I can't believe this finally happened. That'll be Ralph's
Batmobile's going to be there.
Are you driving it?
No, I'm not driving it.
All Ralph will.
The real one, though. The real Batmobile's going to be there.
Right.
Not some knockoff.
That's important to most of us.
George Barris is bringing the number one car, so we're all very excited.
Will Burt Ward be there?
I am not in charge of Mr. Ward's schedule.
Because they're not close, right, Adam and Burt?
No, they're very close. They don't hang out, but when they get together for, Comic-Cons and things like that, they always have a good time together. They're
It'd
just
be cool
very...
if he were there and maybe some Catwomans and stuff. I mean, they could really do this up.
All right, well, we'll put you on the luncheon planning committee.
I'm very excited.
Just back off. I'm just telling you the news.
I'm happy.
You're not welcome. You're not invited, so don't worry about it.
I may fly in a little bit
early. You are not welcome.
Oh, I may fly in a little bit early for Foolish this weekend and come to your event.
You can't. There's a baseball game that day that you have to be at.
That's what Bean is known for, is flying in early.
He is, because he likes to be around the people, and he likes to really be hanging out with everybody.
Go to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about him. This, just as an aside, this isn't show business, but this lottery thing is getting out of control.
I know it is.
Mega Millions
thing.
Yeah,
rolled over yet again. Now Friday night's drawing will be $476 million if you win.
I'm going to have to get that.
You're going to have to get that? It'll be the largest jackpot ever in the history of a lottery.
What do you call dibs?
I don't think dibs, no. Okay. You actually have to
buy
it.
That's crazy money.
You have to buy a ticket and then
have the numbers be called.
Just burn your money. You just do that, too. That's what I say.
Someone's going to win it, Ralph.
That's true. I hope it's Alicia Silverstone. Then maybe she can buy her son a spoon and a plate. You see the video released yesterday on the internet? Alicia Silverstone, of course, star of Clueless, Batgirl. She has a video of her feeding her 11-month-old son, but she says she likes to do it in a very unique way that is a bonding experience for both of them. She takes the food. She chews it.
Oh, no.
Then she opens her 11-month son's mouth.
Like a bird?
And she spits the pre-chewed food into his mouth.
Stop doing what you're doing.
What? Because he loves it. She says he loves it.
What?
Don't they make food that's already fairly easy for a baby to handle at that age?
They do. They do. And there's also different types of machines that you can put food in that would blend it and grind it up, and then the baby can eat it that way.
Stop it.
But no, this is the way they bond.
Wow.
Her son, Bear, loves it. She says sometimes she'll be eating and he'll come running across the room and try to stick his mouth up against hers to get the food out.
That's not going to be awkward in the future.
No, that's going to make Thanksgiving a little creepy over at the Silverstone house. But
now, if another human puts his hands on her baby, does she abandon it? She can't handle it anymore,
just
right?
Just the stink of a human being on it, she has to leave it in the nest.
Wow, that's bizarre.
It's Why wrong did she admit is what this? It is. Because she's proud of it.
Okay.
Wow. You should read the comments on YouTube, by the way. It's great. This is my favorite one. Alicia, I'd never thought of this before. It was the cutest way of feeding your baby. I have a 7-month-old, and I think I will try this method. She is always trying to lick my mouth anyways. Might as well give her a reward. See? This is the problem. Stupidity breeds stupidity, people.
Wow.
So
people see a celebrity do it, they think it must be good.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Wow.
Too much information and shit, man.
Yeah. And Justin Bieber's in trouble. Not only because he's awful, but because he committed a serious social networking faux pas this week. He sent out a tweet asking, you know, the 19 million of his closest friends who follow him on Twitter, call me right now. And he even provided a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
But as a gag, the last digit was missing on the phone number. So 9 million douchebags start randomly dialing those first numbers plus a random last number, whatever they can find. They probably went through 0 through 9.
Right.
Well, the problem is people actually had those phone numbers.
What? Why? These are the people that are his fans.
Yes.
So why would you do that to them?
Well, no.
Because he's a dick. Because Justin
Bieber's
a dick. There was
no downside to his fans. It was the poor, unfortunate people who had the phone number closest.
No, but Kevin's asking, why would Justin Bieber do that to his fans? Why would he pull the prank, leave the number off, and just send them into a frenzy,
so
dialing?
All the people that want to talk to him now are trying to figure out and dialing and all that kind of stuff.
Right, and dialing the wrong number.
Yeah.
Maybe he's in the punked frame of mind now.
Maybe he's a douchebag.
It could be. That could be it, too.
I could be a Buzz Lightyear, fly across the globe. I don't ever want to fight. Yeah, you already know. I'm going to make you shine bright like you're laying in the snow. I'm going to give you wrong number and let you dial it. You could be my girlfriend and leave a digit off. Then you go crazy trying to figure out what number to call. But I won't be there.
What a dumbass.
So a woman and a man who have some of the numbers that they dialed are furious and are now suing Bieber. They want him to pay for his reckless actions because they received over thousands of phone calls that day.
Can you imagine?
And continue to. Now they got to change their numbers. So the lawyers involved apparently aren't being too greedy. They want simple items like concert tickets, an apology, money for out-of-pocket expenses. And one guy wants Bieber to endorse one of his new projects. Apparently he's got some product or something that he wants Bieber to endorse. So what a douchebag.
Twitter's getting all sorts of people in trouble. Did you see Spike Lee tweeted that the wrong address the other day too?
No.
No.
He was trying to tweet the address to that George Zimmerman guy down in Florida who killed that kid, and he tweeted this unsuspecting couple's address.
Oh no.
And they've had to move.
He shouldn't have done either of those.
He shouldn't have done either. Absolutely. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, you're asking
for
somebody
George
to get killed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he tweeted these random people had nothing to do with it who are just, you know, people are just terrorizing them.
Oh
now.
My god.
Twitter can be dangerous. If
people need to be much
on.
More careful with Twitter and what they,
yes,
they tweet.
Do.
Yes. Kevin.
They need to be accurate.
Spell check, too.
Spell check.
Sting break. Oh, my shooty go suck now. Lead on shots.
What are you talking about?
We did talk to Linus while you were gone, Kevin. We did.
He filled us in on your extensive schedule there in Mexico.
Wow, that was interesting. It was
fascinating. Linus told us that the one thing he knows is that Kevin DiBiagio is always right. We learned that.
Yes.
And also that you just make wild, crazy demands. Didn't Linus tell us that Kevin ordered him to find a camel so his kids could go on a camel ride? And what did Linus do, Ralph?
I think he got a Mexican donkey and then just stapled two humps on the back.
I think so, yeah.
He was in a pinch.
Wow.
Linus just does the best he can with extraordinary requests.
I'd like to meet him.
Today's celebrity birthdays. You haven't met your own assistant.
No.
You
isn't
are
he the
a
worst?
Snob.
I keep my distance. Ugh. It's the little people, you know.
Celebrity birthdays today. Reba McEntire, Lisa's co-star Reba.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I still get checks from that fabulous appearance.
For how much?
Sometimes they're like a dollar.
Wow. A whole buck?
Check for a dollar.
Reba's 57 years old today. Salt of Salt and Pepper. Is 46 years old. Director Brett Ratner is 43. Vince Vaughn celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Julia Stiles is 31. And the Gogs, Lady Gaga, celebrates her 26th birthday. Really? That's all? 26?
Yeah.
Wow. She does look rough.
Keep putting that stuff on. Just keep covering up, Gaga. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Or whatever the hell it is. 16 days till Coachella. I do know that. The first weekend of Coachella is happening in just 16 days. We continue to give away tickets here on K-Rock at 5 p.m. Tune in for our man, Stryker. He'll tell you when to call to be caller 106.7 and win your tickets for a 3-day weekend. All the details at krock.com. This James Cameron, man, he does it all, doesn't he?
Well, he sure does love the ocean.
He does love the ocean.
Yeah. He's kind of a brilliant guy.
More money than God, and he's invented all sorts of unbelievable technology, not just for filmmaking, but also for deep sea diving. You know, the Titanic movies being re-released into the theaters in 3D on the, what is this, at the 10-year? What are we at? 10-year, 15-year anniversary?
Maybe 15.
15 years, maybe? It's the second highest grossing movie of all time, by the way, to Avatar, which James Cameron also made. And now it's going to make a ton more money with the 3D. And what's he doing? What's he doing ramping up for that re-release? Is he just sitting around doing nothing?
No. No, he's going to the deepest part of the ocean, 6.8 miles deep.
Oh, my God.
That only one other group has reached in history, and he did it by himself.
Unbelievable.
I can't imagine how creepy it is down there, 7 miles below the Earth's surface. It's insane.
And if anything goes wrong,
it's bye-bye James Cameron, yeah. He's 7 miles almost beneath the Earth in a tiny little sub, just taking all sorts of pictures, doing all sorts of scientific discoveries, and it's just insane what he. And you're right, Lisa. He's just a brilliant dude. Yeah. Seems like an a-hole, but he's a brilliant.
Totally, they often are, right? That's kind of hand in hand.
I guess so. So we asked producer Dave if there's any chance in a million years we could talk to James Cameron. And sure enough, we got him on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Cameron, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Are you in your sub right now?
Yeah, I'm down again. I went down for another trip to pick up some more samples.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty quick.
Well, we were so impressed by what we found down there that we decided it was worthwhile to go down and do a second run and pick up some more examples of what really is the lowest point on the face of the Earth.
I see.
What is it that fascinates you so much about the ocean?
Well, it really is, in my opinion, much more fascinating than even space exploration, in terms of it being the final frontier. We really go down there and find different species. There's lost items, things that no one would expect you could find. And we've been using a sediment collector and a robotic claw to be able to pick things up and find things that some people thought were gone forever and some things that no one has ever seen before.
And you found enough on the first trip down that you wanted to go back again.
Absolutely. I mean, the ability to do a scientific exploration like this is, well, certainly once in my lifetime. And as you guys mentioned, it hasn't been done since 1960 was the last time anyone really investigated down there.
Right.
So we're finding some remarkable things. And before you ask, Kevin, yes, I directed The Abyss.
That's pretty interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You remember that, huh, Mr. Cameron?
I do remember. That was the lowest point in my interview career, and I found it down here in the Marianas Trench, believe
come
it or
on
not.
Now.
Found a tape of that interview.
What is next for you once you've conquered the bottom of the ocean?
Drilling into the center of the Earth.
That's okay, good.
I'm going to build a giant single-man drill, and we will just burrow into the center of the Earth. And I'm expecting to find, you know, prehistoric creatures and lost tribes and gold and hot magma.
Sure. That's probably where you're going to find the most stuff.
Yeah, just probably just that. The other stuff just...
Where are you now? Are you down near the bottom? Or?
Yeah, I am. I've been collecting stuff, going through what we got today. It was fascinating. We found a new breed of fish.
Oh.
No one, as far as I know, has ever found it before. It's a bottom feeder.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's down here so deep, it shuns all social contact, and it lives in total isolation.
Right.
Known as the beanfish.
Really?
Come on.
Yeah.
It's already
named.
Yeah, we named it the beanfish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they named it that, but also the things we found down here, I'm sifting through some of the things we've collected this morning. It is the lowest point on Earth, and as you can imagine, you find some relics here. We found the Kardashians' dignity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's where it was. Son of a gun.
Lowest point on Earth is the only place you can find that.
Not a guess that.
We found Rosie O'Donnell's ratings for her latest talk show.
That's why that got canceled.
Yeah, pretty low.
The press is filled with hundreds and thousands of tickets to go see John Carter.
Really?
Oh, wow. No one bought those, huh?
It's done. I guess that's what they did with them. Stop using the sea as a dumping place.
No
that's
kidding.
That's one of our points, really.
You could burn those.
I found Kevin Ryder's English degree.
How dare you?
I wondered about that.
Yeah.
How dare you?
It is. And, look at this.
Yes.
I didn't expect to see this. What? This is beer mug's chances of losing 30 pounds in 3 months.
How do you even know about that?
Nothing. Bottom of the sea. Can't get much lower than that, really.
Wasn't that a strange conversation we had yesterday with Casey, who works here on the Kevin Bean Show? She's the poor lady who has to have her finger on the button in case somebody swears.
Mm-hmm. It's her whole job.
And we found out that there was something that upset her so bad, and we want to play some highlights of the conversation we had late in the show yesterday, and then we want to take your phone calls on this to find out if you agree with Casey or do as I do and think she's crazy. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. We started off the conversation with her yesterday. I guess I'm reading something that she retweeted that she very much agreed with. There should be some type of punishment for couples that sit on the same side of the table in a restaurant.
Totally true.
Why does that bother? Like, why would you think anything either way? I would walk past a table like that if they were sitting on the same side and sitting across from each other, and nothing would enter my mind. I wouldn't think anything about it.
I worked at a restaurant for a couple of years, and it was one of the most annoying things to see people sit on the same side
of
the
booth. But why? Because you could talk to both of them much easier than if they were on each side.
Well, yeah, as a server. But I mean, like, so you see two people sitting next to each other. When you go to dinner, you're socializing, you're eating. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting next to somebody, you don't have as much socializing. You socialize from across.
But
you're looking at the person.
You're having a sort of private conversation.
Isn't that their
then
problem?
Then you don't do that in the middle of a restaurant. You go somewhere else.
Sometimes things come up.
Why does that?
Sometimes it's hard to hear somebody when they're sitting across from you in a loud restaurant.
But why does it bother you?
It's just one of those things that you just look at it, you're like, oh, really? You can't sit on the normal side of the booth like everybody else?
So there's a normal and a non-normal side? And the non-normal is sitting next to each other. That's weird to me.
The only time that's okay is in a sushi bar. Or at a bar.
Well, I need a copy of Casey's
rule. Well, who knew? I didn't know you had
it. I am breaking rules right and
a
left,
whole
I think.
Book.
But I don't understand
Casey.
How I'm the only one that finds this odd irritating.
What happened when you retweeted it?
Bean wrote back saying, is this hate for hate's sake?
Yes.
Because
and then everyone else.
Like it sounds
and nobody
like,
else said anything to me.
Because here's what I don't understand. Is it... people sometimes sit together because they're young and in love and they don't want to be that far apart from each other, which I think is kind of sweet.
But
what's
at
wrong
a,
with
at
that?
A restaurant, eat your food
at
and
a,
then go
at
elsewhere.
A restaurant.
Continue they're the night elsewhere.
They're on a date. They're having a nice time. I'm trying to figure out how it impacts your life 0.000001% in any direction what they're doing.
Bean, there's a right side and a wrong side.
But this
apparently
is coming
so.
From Bean, who has little irritations about everything.
No question about that. Bean's the king of this. But... he, like all normal thinking people, could care less where people sit in a restaurant.
Okay,
couldn't
so he could care less.
Couldn't
there
care
you
less.
Go.
Sorry.
While we're seeing your Nazi buddies.
You are.
But seriously, I mean, why does it matter to you if they want to sit that way? It doesn't impact you in the slightest. Please try to explain this to
even
me.
Even if you're a server.
Is it that you're alone for life, probably? I mean, let's be honest. Let's all say what we're thinking here. And you hate to see other people in love? Is that what's going on here?
You hate love.
Oh, that bitch, she got a man and I can't? Is that what it is?
I don't know what exactly the irritation is. It just bothers me. And I think growing up, I didn't like going out to eat because it was either I didn't end up eating because I was talking too much, or I was with
and
my family.
By the way, maybe there's a problem.
Yeah, I know. I get that
oh
a lot.
My God, you're just saying that because you're jealous.
Or my family would go to dinner and then we'd just fight with each other the whole time. So I'm not a big fan of restaurants to begin with.
Okay, so, but that's different. You're not a fan of restaurants is different. Where people sit in a restaurant that really drives you crazy is, that's a little odd. That's a little weird. Like, that's...
Do you want to have a conversation? You look across the table at each other.
You can have a conversation either way. You really can.
Do you talk to people sitting next to them on the couch? Seems like that's possible. But you turn.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
Turn and look at somebody.
Are you the laziest person in the world?
It takes more effort to turn and look at somebody.
No, it doesn't. If I sat next to you in a restaurant, we could have a conversation.
Yeah, not looking at each other. You can glance around. You can turn your head like on a couch.
You don't have to keep your head straight. There's no rule that says you can't turn your head. And how much work is that?
He needs direct eye contact at all times.
What the hell? So that was the conversation we had yesterday. And
I am still puzzled.
It's weirder hearing it back. I still can't figure out what it is that bugs her so much about it. Because everything she said, Kevin, you completely refuted. People can still talk to each other, right? You can still have a regular meal just sitting next to each other versus across from each other.
I think later in that conversation we came to the conclusion that she's doing all the talking, which means the other person has to do all of the turning of the head, which could get tiring. She needs to maybe shut up a little.
Maybe that's the whole thing.
That's not possible. Listen, here's a couple of emails, and we're going to take your phone calls on this topic. If you are either fur or, again, Casey, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Chris writes in, I thought I was the only one who hated people sitting on the same side. My wife and I hate them. We call them triple S's, same side sitters. They should die.
They should die.
Fred writes in, I agree with the button girl. If I'm out with my woman, I want to see her face and her eyes and especially her rack, and I don't want to have to turn my head. Sitting next to her is usually too close unless we're planning on some PDA. Look, and I think what Casey was saying is she's afraid that PDA will break out in a restaurant, and I think that's a separate thing. I don't think I want to see PDA. I don't want to see a couple sucking face at a restaurant, whether they're across the table from each other or next to each other. That's a whole different issue from where they're sitting, I think.
Maybe it's...
Right, and we're not suggesting that people do it if they don't want to.
Maybe it's better hand access.
Oh, yeah, maybe so.
You know what I mean?
And finally, Manuel, hey guys and Lisa May, I just want to say that I totally agree with Casey about couples sitting on the same side. When I'm out with a girl, I like to sit across from my date and enjoy her beauty. I think sitting on the same side is for people who have been together for a long time and are tired of looking at each other. P.S. Is Casey single? Oh, yeah. If you can you please pass my email along? No, we're doing you a favor here. So we want to hear from you. What do you think about what Casey says? She hates the same side sitters. And if you don't have time to call, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. And there is a poll. She wrote a whole post about this on the website, too. You can call us right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. This is surprising us more than we knew.
This is not
the results we expected. It's world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 635.
What we're finding out is that next to Al-Qaeda, Americans hate one thing almost as much, and that is couples that sit on the same side of a table at a restaurant.
The hell?
Like everybody who's calling is supporting Casey, and I don't... Well, let's see. Let's talk to a couple of these. Let's start with Sharon on line one. Let's talk to a couple of people, and maybe they can do what Casey was unable to do, which is to explain why it bothers them so much, since it impacts you not at all. Sharon, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Good morning. I totally agree with Casey.
Because...
Because next two sitters suck.
Okay, but why?
If your date is hot, you want to look at them.
You do. Maybe I don't.
No, but we're not trying to change you. We're not trying to say if you want to sit across from your guy, don't. We're not saying that. We're just saying it really bothers you when people sit next to each other?
It does. I think they're annoying, and I comment to everybody else how annoying they are, and they agree with me.
Let me phrase it another way, because maybe you're not getting the point. We're not trying to change your mind about where you sit in a restaurant, but why do you care if other people sit next to each other if it doesn't affect you?
Well, if you put it that way, I guess it doesn't, but it's still annoying.
It's annoying. It annoys
me. And no one can tell us why.
Right. And no one can tell us why.
Thank you.
All right, well, Sharon can't. Maybe Jessica can. She's on line two. She also agrees with Casey about the same side sitters. And by the way, Casey pointed out yesterday, Kevin, I don't know if you saw this or not, there are websites dedicated to making fun of same side sitters.
What is wrong with this world?
Jessica, what's going on?
Hi, good morning.
All right, hi. You agree with Casey. We got it. But explain to us why.
Because I just feel like it's maybe the women's insecure, or they're just brand new in the relationship and they just can't stand to be apart. But it's either way.
But why does that bother you either way? Let's say both of those are true, or one or the other. Who cares?
Because it's like, come on, do it on your own time, really? Let's just sit here and eat.
So it's PDA.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing is they're sitting there and eating. We're not, look, the scenario isn't you walk in and a couple is sitting on the same side of a restaurant booth while they're having intercourse. You understand we're just talking about them sitting there having a meal, right? They're not doing anything else.
I prefer to have the girl sit on my lap at dinner, but that's a whole different thing. So you're still annoying.
Either way, it's annoying. It can only be acceptable for old people, and that's about it.
You know, the other thing is sometimes in a restaurant, there's the very comfy bench, and then there on the other side of the table is the chair.
Is the chair, the torture chairs
right.
that they use at Al-Qaeda.
Sometimes my boyfriend and I will both sit on the bench just because it's more comfortable.
You know, no, people hate you.
Apparently, people want to kill us.
Thank you
Jessica,
very much.
If you see Lisa and her boyfriend sit on the same side because it's more comfortable, you will spit in their food, I hope, right?
Of course not.
All right. No, okay. Thank you, Jessica.
All right. Let's go to Lori. Almost all women calling today, by the way. Lori is on line three, but I think she's going to surprise us. I think she disagrees with Casey.
What?
How about that? Finally, we found one. Lori, help us out here.
Yes, I totally disagree. I love sitting on the same side, especially when there are those the two chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to share food that way.
Oh, that's
share
true, too.
Food. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But you understand, apparently, that when you go out to dinner with whoever your boyfriend or husband is, you drive everyone crazy.
And you're massively
okay.
insecure.
It's all about me, so.
All right.
Well, one thing she's not is massively insecure.
Good enough. Love that. Thank you for the call.
All right, let's go back to Cindy. She's on line four. She can't believe that no one agreed with Casey. She doesn't understand why we all don't agree with Casey. Right, Cindy?
I was listening to the show yesterday, and I heard you guys talking about it, and you made me feel bad because I've always hated it. I've always just despised it, and I dated a guy, and he was insistent that I'd always sit in first, and it made me feel very uncomfortable, and it's interesting. I don't think it's about the women. I don't think the women could care, but the man, for me, it was more of him saying, okay, you get in first, and I hated sitting
there. Yeah, you don't want to be trapped.
Wait, meaning that he had dominance over you, that you couldn't get out?
Yeah.
Well, I just felt like it was, like, we'd go somewhere, and I always tried to, like, play this game where I didn't sit first, you know?
Right.
But he would say, okay, go ahead, get in, and I'm like, ugh. I'm like, can we get a table? Like, I just didn't like the feeling of not being able, and I couldn't handle it. Like, I hated to go out to dinner with him.
You have a lot of issues.
Well, so did he.
Yeah. He had a lot of issues.
That's not the point. The point is you asked. Yeah, exactly, I do.
Look, at least Cindy, though, has some personal experience that at least it makes sense why she has an opinion. What's confusing to us is these people who have such strong opinions, and they don't have a story like Cindy's does to influence them one way or another, just because they care so much about what other people do. All right, we got time for a couple more. Who do you like?
Let's try Shauna. Hi, yeah. Shauna.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
The way I always looked at this, because I support Casey on this too, because I've always felt the same way. I think it's funny that she brought it up. I look at it this way. When you're on a job interview, you don't sit next to the person who's interviewing you. The focus is the interview. You're interacting with the other person. I feel like when you're sitting next to someone at a restaurant, it's not something that you're proving to one another because you're not focusing on each other's conversation. I feel like it's something you're trying to prove to everyone else.
You don't think the interviewer and the interviewee is a completely different relationship than a couple that's having dinner?
I do agree that it's a different relationship, but the focus is the same thing. The focus is on one another. And
wait, I want to – let me jump to the end when you said they're trying to prove something to everybody.
That's what it feels like to me. I feel like it's something that they're not really trying to prove to one another, but something that they have to prove to everyone else.
They're showing off.
They're showing off that they love each other more than you love whoever.
It's great that they love each other, but I don't think it's something that they have to prove.
Maybe that's
to
what it
else,
is. It's a public display of affection that drives people crazy.
But it's not a public display of affection if you're just sitting there having a conversation and eating dinner. Again, we're not talking about them making out at the table. We're just talking about them
being
in a restaurant and eating.
Making out at the table is much easier if you're sitting side by side.
But I find it more difficult to have an interactive conversation when you are sitting next to each other.
Nope.
I know you can still have one, but I feel like the focus isn't directly in front of you.
People, I hate to bring up what I brought up yesterday. Don't we do it on the couch all the time? It's not that hard to have a conversation with somebody who's sitting next to you on a couch. It's exactly the same as sitting next to someone in a restaurant.
You do act like it requires ropes and pulleys and all kinds of different things to have a conversation with somebody sitting next to you, when really you can have a conversation either way.
You're actually closer to the person than you would be if you were across the table. All right, let's do one more. Let's make it Matt. He is on line eight. We haven't heard from any guys on this topic.
Wow, guys
here
calling.
Today. Matt, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I just want to say that I completely agree with you guys. I think Casey's a little messed up in the head and all these other people. But with me, when I go out, it depends on the seating arrangement. If it's a square table and two chairs, we sit across. If it's a booth and, you know, half a booth and half chairs, we both sit on the booth side. If it's two booths, then we both sit
The booth is different because you can sort of sit across from the person even though you're next to them, sort of.
Right, but if it's one where it's like half of them is a chair and the other half is a booth.
Hang on, I'm trying to keep up with these rules.
What if it's a booth? What if it's like an old school layout where it's a horseshoe shaped table? What do you do then? Do you sit as far apart from each other as possible so you can get across the table? Or do you sit next to each other in the middle?
We sit next to each other. Well, it depends. Like if we order a lot of food, then we, you know, we have a little bit.
All right.
Of space,
so if you order a lot of food,
we have to sit.
So if it's a horseshoe shape and you order a lot of food, then you sit next to each other or across? I'm confused.
We sit. We just like we try to sit as close as possible. But as close, you know, if we're hungry that day, then like it doesn't.
Oh,
really,
but if you're hungry, but if you're hungry, if you're hungry.
Okay. Oh. This can you send us your rule book?
It's not really a matter of like, oh, we have to sit.
Whenever, to be honest. But thank you for the call, Matt. Look, the one thing we can all agree is that Casey is honked up and will be alone forever, right? I used to know. The hits.
Mumford and Gauthier. It's the world famous K-Rock at 6:53. Ralph is here. Have a look at the showbiz beat.
We're the world famous K-Rock District 106.7, aren't we?
That's us.
Because there's a movie called Hunger Games. It's very popular.
Those districts. Yay! The kids come from. See?
Speaking of Hunger Games, you can say what you want about the Hunger Games fans, but they sure are racist. Yeah, they got that going for them.
What are you talking about?
Have you been following this story?
No.
Hilarious.
You have to go to Hunger Games tweets, I think it's called, on Tumblr. It's just page after page after page of racist Hunger Game fans complaining about some of the characters in the movie being black.
Wait,
it's nuts.
These are fans of Hunger Games that are upset that there are black actors in the Hunger Games?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Because in the book they weren't?
Well, here's the thing. Some of them are very angry about characters that are portrayed as black in the movie that are portrayed as black in the book.
What?
It's like they didn't even read it.
I don't understand.
The character called Rue, for example.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old girl from District 11.
She's a cute little girl, plays a big part in it.
Right.
Yeah.
In the book, she's described as she has dark brown skin and eyes. But other than that, she's very prim in size and demeanor. Now, that role was played by a black actress.
Really cute little girl.
Yes. Well, if you go to Hunger Games tweets, you'll see such tweets as, why does Rue have to be black?
What?
Not going to lie, kind of ruined the movie.
No.
What?
Tweeted Maggie McDonald. There's just tweet after tweet. It's hilarious. Cinna and Rue weren't supposed to be black. Why did the producers make all the good characters black?
Oh, my God.
Wrote Mari.
Oh, my God.
Why is Rue a little black girl? Haley Franklin tweeted. Stick to the book, dude. To which some people would respond, read the book,
read the
dude.
Book. My question is
Jasper writes, call me racist, but when I found out Rue was black, her death wasn't as sad.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Here's what I don't understand. I never had a thought come into my head that this character is what color.
Of course
well, no,
not.
You didn't read the books. I'm telling you, these are fans
even
of the book.
Even if they read the books, Ralph says that it
well,
has...
Well, I didn't remember that she was... In my mind, she wasn't black. I don't care, but honestly, I did read the books and I
page
I didn't
45.
Remember that.
Page 45, okay. Lisa.
It was
here we go.
Line, I just
it's
didn't...
on! Race war!
But
race
how...
war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down!
Thresh is also described as having the same dark skin as Rue. But the resemblance stops there. He's one of the giants, probably 6.5 feet tall and built like an ox. They're upset that Thresh in the character was also played by a black actor.
How can anyone feel okay saying I wasn't upset that she, as upset that she died because she's black?
I am reading to you
that's crazy.
The calm, reasonable tweets.
Wow.
You should see the N-word being thrown around, and it's nuts.
Wow.
This is why we're never going to have a black president in this country, because there's just so many people like
right.
this out there. I'm
people
just telling you.
They won't stand for it. And
no,
it just,
they won't.
They won't.
We have a black
president. Lenny Kravitz is just being targeted left and right. He says his Twitter
Lenny Kravitz is great.
It's been filled with hate.
Would have been better if it wasn't a black guy in that role, though, Kevin. Come on.
Yeah. He was really good in that.
The book doesn't say what race or color Cinna is at all. His description is never really talked about in the book. So they cast a black actor, and he said he's getting all kinds of hate and angry tweets. So Strange.
Well, I'll tell you, we've never had idiots have a louder, you know, more of a voice.
That's
than
true.
We do
That's a really
in this
good point.
Society.
Yeah.
They do have a platform now, don't they?
That's crazy. Pulling a big black man.
What?
What does
Kevin,
that mean?
Please, we're trying to stop that kind of talk, and here you are perpetrating it.
Wow, let us move on, dude.
Wow.
I don't even remember what that was from.
And I think never before have we needed the movie Bully, the documentary Bully, yeah, in theaters. And I was so encouraged by today's story that I thought I would share it with you.
Okay.
Bully, the producers of Bully, if you haven't been following the story at all, there's a documentary about school bullying. And it has some frank and rather raw language in it, which is being used by kids in these situations in these schools.
Right.
Because of that language, the MPAA is insisting that the film be rated R, which means that kids under the age of 17 who really do need to see this film would not be able to see it.
They have rules in place, like if you have a certain number of F-words, for instance, it can't be a PG-13, right?
So the producers, the Weinstein Company, said, you know what? We're trying to work with you. You're not moving on this point. F it. We're not going to have a rating on it. We're just going to release it unrated. So we're not going to play by your little reindeer games.
Okay, good.
But the problem is, when a movie is released without a rating, usually it is NC-17 or above. That's the significance of that. Someone doesn't want to put the rating on their film.
Because it would be too bad.
It's very adult content. So most movie theaters will not play an unrated film.
Oh.
So people are speculating it's going to have a sort of inherent built-in censorship because the studios will not pick up the movie. It won't be shown. The kids who need to see it will not have access to it. It's been sort of a downer story. Until today, the AMC theater chain has announced they are going to treat the film as if it's an R-rated film. Children under the age of 17 will be able to see it with a parent, if they bring a parent along. But they're also adding, you can go to the AMC Theater's website and download a permission slip.
No kidding.
And if you can get your parents to sign off on the permission slip, you bring that to the theater, and that's as good as being accompanied by a guardian in order to go in and see Bully.
That's pretty cool.
I think that's great that AMC is doing that. I just wonder how many kids are going to be interested in seeing a movie like this.
I'm not saying
they shouldn't see it. I'm saying, are they going to want to?
Look, if they do want to, though, this is an easy way for them to go.
Yeah, no kidding.
As opposed to not being able to see it at all. I don't know what kind of audience it's going to pull either, but it's, you know, it's great that they'll have the access. And I thought it was, you know, a lot of people were worried that AMC's the second largest theater chain in America. And they said,
how about that?
The odds are that
great.
They wouldn't show it. But the CEO, Jerry Lopez, actually was one of the people who signed the online petition to get the film a PG-13 rating initially. So he's been very much supportive of this film the whole time. And this is his way of trying to allow kids who do want to go access to see it without having to pull their parents in tow.
You know, I wish they could show it in high schools, but parents would just spin out if the school showed a movie that had that kind of language in it.
Especially if there were black people in it.
Especially if there were. Right, Kevin?
Pulling a big black man.
Come on.
Kevin, God, you're an embarrassment.
That story is really shocking.
We live in America in the 21st century, people.
Yeah.
Congratulations to my buddy Adam West. Next week, April 5th, it's a Thursday, the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce will be honoring Adam West with his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yay!
11:30 a.m. is when it happens. I'm inviting everyone who listens to the show and has listened to me go on and on about Adam Starr for all these years to come on out and join us. It's going to be at 6746 Hollywood Boulevard. I think that's right in front of the Guinness World Record Museum.
Okay.
On Hollywood. So come on out on Thursday. I'll talk more about it next week and give you a heads up. But love to have you come out and join us. It's going to be fun. And I get a chance to speak in the induction. I get to induct my hero.
Wow,
that's pretty cool.
Have you thought about what you're going to say, Andrew?
Only for about 30 years now.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Hey, if you're taking notes, I don't know if you are or not, try to include Kevin's comment about him peaking in 1969.
That's how I'm starting off my speech.
How dare you?
Adam, you peaked in 1968.
Well, I didn't mean it
that way.
Your
career was pretty much over. You should have probably died then.
I didn't say that.
Why are you still alive?
How dare you? I didn't say that.
That's in the documentary about getting the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, by the way. That part of the interview.
That was not said.
Adam's like,
I resent that, Kevin.
if it wasn't, dare you? If you're sure it wasn't said, I am happy to play the tape.
I'd love to hear that.
Can we play it? Really? Do we have time? A little tribute to Adam West.
Hold on. I did say peaked in 1969. I didn't say something about dying.
You did. You said you should be dead.
Let's see.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960. What was that? Over eight? 1969? When was?
Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
And I hope you die.
Oh, good. Yeah, no one could tell that.
It was right on the tape. I just heard it. Just played it right there.
Yeah,
it was right on the tape.
No, it was good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Country singer Reba McEntire is 57 years old today. Lisa's co-star.
Yes,
they had that cop show. They were like mismatched cops, Lisa and Reba.
Sure.
Oh, I loved that show. Salt of Salt and Pepper's 46. Brett Ratner, the director, is 43. Vince Vaughn is 42. Julia Stiles is 31. Lady Gaga celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll introduce you to professional wing girls you can hire to accompany you for your evening out to make you look good, talk you up to all the other ladies. That's coming up. Also, Adam Carolla joins us right now, though. What about UFC 146? Coming up Memorial Day weekend at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, the next heavyweight champion of the world, ladies and gentlemen, Alistair Overeem joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm feeling great, except I got a little bit of a small cold right now. But other than that, I'm all good.
And when you get a cold, you still go to the gym. You still work out.
Yeah, but a little bit more relaxed, and then I would usually cut down from instead of three trainings a day to two.
Three trainings a day?
Yeah.
Three a day. So how long is each training? About a couple hours?
I would say first one is 30 minutes, second one is 2 hours, and then the third one is an hour.
That's about what I do.
Yeah.
That's roughly what I do.
Monday to Friday.
It's like having, the world's most expensive and finely tuned automobile where you spend all of the time tinkering with it to get it just right. And you're never finished, right? It's not like you work out one day and that's it, you're done. You have to go back and do it the next day to keep it that level.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. Well, yeah. We got to keep working hard, keep developing, because the competition is not... They're not waiting. They're also working hard.
They're working hard too, right?
It's a constant battle of, I think there's now 10 top heavyweights, which all can pose a problem at their own, with their own level, their own background. So you have to keep it up. You have to always stay out of the curve, and that means, stunning your opponent. Of course, getting your body in optimum shape.
Now, when you kicked Brock Lesnar's liver right out of his body...
It flew through the air for people who didn't see it. It literally left his body and flew through the air. I think a guy caught it in the crowd.
I've never seen a kick to the midsection and a fight. I mean, I've never seen that. I know you jumped all over him, but basically he was done. He was waving the white flag. I've never seen that before. Yeah. But is that the moment where everybody goes, okay, we got to get ready for this guy, and now they're all gunning for you?
Well, some fighters are gunning for me, but I think other fighters are like, hey, wait a minute, we got to up our game because he's using... techniques that we've not seen before, so it's a little bit of a game.
What are the techniques that you were using that other guys aren't aware of yet?
Well, I'm more of a striker, and I would probably call myself the best striker in MMA these days. I kick, I punch, I knee, I do that with deadly intent.
Yeah, you do.
Intention to knock people out.
Were you afraid of Brock Lesnar?
No.
Were you worried?
No.
Were you concerned?
No.
Were you a little nervous?
No. No.
Because he's one of those guys who, like Mike Tyson in his prime, would just end a fight in 10 seconds. And
but he never does that.
He did a couple of fights he did.
He never ended in 10 seconds.
Well, no.
It always took him a couple minutes.
Did it?
And he always did it in a certain fashion takedown. He's good at what he does.
He would take you down and smother you, basically.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But if he can't get that takedown, I mean, the fight starts on their feet.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts with strikes. It starts actually with my specialty in my backyard. So I think he was a little bit more nervous than I was.
And when he couldn't take you down, that had to, in his mind, he had to go, oh, no.
And he was right.
The press conference you had the other day in Las Vegas, they called it the heavyweight royalty. So Dana White was there. Of course, you were there. Roy Nelson, Cain Velasquez Jr., of course, was there. Frank Mir was there. Antonio Silva was there. All in one place at one time. I mean, this may be the strongest heavyweight division the UFC has ever had in its history, I would think. Do you agree?
Very true. But not only did it have these six heavyweights, it had... There's going to be two more heavyweight fights on the card. So it's five heavyweight fights.
Wow.
With me headlining it versus Dos Santos. I like to say how it is. This is going to be the best, biggest, baddest UFC ever.
It sounds like it. If there's going to be five heavyweight fights, and they all have good fighters. That's the one thing that UFC almost never does is pad with weak fights.
Yep. And this is top of the bill, and very excited to be part of it. So be there, UFC 146.
Yeah, tickets go on sale. I should mention, by the way, we always promote the pay-per-view. And, of course, you can see this one on pay-per-view starting at 7 o'clock on the night of the 26th. But you can also go if you want to buy tickets and see it in person. Tickets are going on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster and MGMGrand.com. Cheap seats, $75. You can go all the way up till $800, by the way. You can
buy tickets for $800.
It's fun.
Because it's going to be sold out within no time. Like I said, the biggest UFC ever. And I expect it to go really fast. I mean, even from my friends who are flying in from all over the world, I think we're going to be
ready. How many requests do you get?
I think we have 150 people flying overseas.
So it's going to be, hey, Alistair, remember we used to go to kindergarten together? You remember that?
I get that a lot, too.
I'm sure you do.
That's unbelievable.
Alistair, Overeem is here. We need to take a break. I'm sorry, B.
Okay. That's all right. I'll save my question for when we come back. Yeah, May 26th, Saturday night of Memorial Day weekend, MGM Grand Las Vegas. It sounds like it's going to be an unbelievable night of UFC fights. We've got more with our guest, Alistair Overeem, right after this on the Kevin.
Lisa, I heard a lot from Kevin about how he was going to kick Alistair Overeem's ass before the man arrived.
Not so much since he stepped into the booth.
Talking about
it. Really, not a word. Not a word.
How dare you say that?
UFC 146 is happening on Saturday night, May 26th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. You can see it on pay-per-view, or you can buy tickets to be there in person Friday at 10 through Ticketmaster and MGMGrand.com. Alistair, you've been a professional fighter now, what, for 13 years, 14 years, something like that?
Long time. I've been training for 17 years. I started when I was 15.
Wow. 17 years. And you fought one time in the UFC.
Yeah, that was going to be my question before the break, is why did it take you so long to transition to the UFC from, you know, Pride and Strikeforce and everything else you were doing?
Well, the road to UFC has been a long one, but a very interesting one. I basically fought in all the top promotions in the world.
Right.
Starting out with Rings Fighting Network in Japan. That was in 99. They were then the leading promotion in the world.
Okay.
Which then transitioned to Pride in 2000. I started in Pride in 2002.
Okay.
Then Pride went down in 2007. At that time, UFC was starting to take over.
I was going to say, at that time, you had to have heard from UFC.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. UFC was doing great in the States. I was more fighting in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And
imagine how big he is in Japan, by the way. Yeah, no, physically, what it's like for you to walk down the street in Tokyo.
It must be like Godzilla has come back, right?
Keep Japanese. Okay, so, but from Pride, I went to, in the meantime, I signed with Strikeforce. So I had my first bout with Strikeforce 2006, fought for the title in 2007. And in the meantime, I signed non-exclusive, so I could still fight in Japan.
Oh, I see.
So I fought there with Heroes and with Dream, which were all big promotions, all televised. In 2009, I started to do K1,
mm-hmm.
which is a stand-up striking promotion, only striking, right. No clinching, no wrestling, no submissions. And in 2010, I became champion of that promotion. After that championship fight, I became Dream champion.
Right.
Which I also was fighting under that banner. And
you've won everything there is to win.
Basically, I won all the titles in all of the other promotions worldwide. So
okay.
The UFC is
all right, good enough.
The last one left.
UFC is the only one left. And this fight on the 26th will give you that belt?
Yeah, if all goes as planned.
You must have quite a trophy case at home.
I do, actually.
I would imagine so.
I do, but the thing is, with UFC, you don't get any trophies. There's only the belt.
Sure.
The belt. Well, the belt's nice.
There's nothing you get.
You don't get a ring, you don't get a pin,
you don't get
nothing?
A paycheck,
yeah.
I'm always fascinated, and I know we don't have much time with you, but I'm always fascinated to hear how guys ended up in fighting, because it's not like you were a little kid fighting, right? Did you grow up with like karate at age 5 or anything like that? Because it seemed to me like this was something that you came to a little bit later than a lot of guys.
Well, I used to be a little bit of a rebel. A lot of energy, running around, had some street fights. I had an older brother who also was kind of the same.
Did you beat the hell out of him?
Nah.
No, really? Did he beat you up?
Beat me up.
And today he's an accountant.
Yeah. You have a call today? Hey, you want to fight again? Rematch?
Well, he still is fighting, actually. He just had a fight in Italy, which he didn't perform so well on, but he still is a very dangerous sparring partner for me.
But so, you went to college, for instance. That's what one of the things that kind of gave me a clue that maybe you didn't decide at 16 that you were going to go be a professional fighter.
Yes, I did. Well, it kind of worked out differently. When I was 15, my brother took me to the gym. I didn't have a choice.
Okay.
So right. I had to come to learn more self-discipline and to learn how to defend myself. I didn't like to train in the beginning.
You didn't like training?
Nah, because I wasn't that good. They did think I was good.
They saw potential.
They saw potential. They saw certain talent. But I got my ass kicked off.
That doesn't sound fun.
Nah.
How long did it get to be before you thought to yourself, hey, I can actually destroy people now?
When I was 18, I consciously made the decision to go all out in the sport. And at that moment, I quit my – I was working part-time. I was doing school. And I basically quit my part-time job. And I, when I was 19, I quit school. And then it was all out in the sport. And when I was 19, I also got a contract in Japan with the Rings Fighting Network.
Wow. Is that difficult for a foreigner to get into that league in Japan?
Well, my brother, fortunately enough, my brother was already fighting with him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I was introduced as the little brother off. I'm a little bit taller than my brother.
Right.
But that was my entry.
I'm always so delighted to see college dropouts do something with their lives. Because I have this giant monkey on my back for being a college dropout.
Well,
I'm just happy that
diploma.
I can... Oh, you did? You got your diploma?
I did have my diploma.
You should still be embarrassed.
I should still be embarrassed. I thought I had someone else in my club here of people who made a living.
And you don't fight.
And I don't fight at all.
What a meanie you are.
I know we're almost out of time, but I have to ask this because it's one of the strangest things every time the LMFMO videos come up on my TV. How did you end up in them? Like, why are you jumping around with these two crazy guys in afros?
Well, first of all, these guys
are you
totally
sexy
cool.
And you know it?
Sexy, you know it. Sorry for party rocking. Now, these guys are very cool. I mean, they know how to put on a show. They know how to party. And
but how did you get hooked up with them?
Well, one of the guys, Sky Nuts, is a big fan of mine. And basically, a mutual friend of us brought us together. And I was at the set, and I just happened to, hey, why don't you,
And you're like, all right.
Tag along. And
why not?
And
I'm,
you just thought it'd be fun, just something different to do.
Yeah.
They're so hilarious.
Out of
their
the
songs
box.
Are so dumb. And so fun.
But I think they know that they're dumb and fun.
Yes, they do.
Is that a good read on them?
Dumb and fun, but I think they're making a lot of money.
Oh, no question.
Absolutely.
So, no question about that.
I'm very rich.
All right, before you go, I know you don't – I'm not going to ask you to give away any secrets. Maybe you've got some thoughts you want to hold back on this. But give me your evaluation of Junior Dos Santos. He's the man you're going to be in, basically in his face coming up on May 26th at the MGM Grand. What's your take on him as a fighter?
Okay, so this guy is considered the best boxer in MMA and UFC. He's a very dangerous striker. He's got excellent hands.
But that's your strength.
It is.
Right?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's what you do as well.
So apparently he's never fallen on the ground, so nobody knows about his ground game.
Okay.
Apparently his ground game, well, of course he's a Brazilian. Brazilians all have a ground game. They're all good with the grappling.
Right.
So I expect him to be okay there. But, tremendous athlete. I think he won 14 fights, which brought him to the title. Very strong opponent. Self-secure.
Yeah.
Self-secure.
Self-confident, yeah.
Yeah, very confident fighter. You can see it in his eyes. And it's going to be my pleasure to take that confidence out of him.
The way he says it. He makes it sound so delicate.
It's so delicate and loving. I'm going to take, I'll take your confidence. Thank you.
I'm going to do you the favor. I'm going to do you the favor of nearly killing you. Saturday, May 26th, MGM Grand in Las Vegas on pay-per-view, or you can buy tickets to be there in person. As Alistair said earlier, they will sell out almost instantly. So be at your little computer at 10 a.m. Friday. Go to Ticketmaster.com or MGMGrand.com. Great to have you in. I hope we get the opportunity to do it again. Good luck in May, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Well, introduce you to professional wing girls coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Amin Show. Adam Carolla joins us later on. First, though, let's take a look at some of the email that you have been sending in on a variety of topics that we've been discussing here on the program. Here's one to get us started, by the way, from our old friend Kevin of the Kevin Amin Archive, which is just really the most tremendous resource in the world for Kevin Amin fans on the Internet. Kevin Amin Archive is what you want to search. He writes in, hello, gentlemen. I really like the fact that you call Kim Kardashian a porn star during the Showbiz Beat. Thanks for calling it like it is. However, over the last few weeks, I've been thinking, is she really a star? She performed in a single celebrity sex tape. A porn star to me suggests someone who is held in high regard and celebrated. Since Kim is not held in high regard by many and not celebrated by anyone, maybe a more appropriate term would be a one-time celebrity sex tape performer or sex tape contributor or something along those lines. Let's not sully the good names and reputations of America's beloved porn stars by putting Kim Kardashian in the same class as the true stars. Thank you for your consideration. That's an excellent point, by the way.
Never thought of it that way.
She did have one of the best-selling porn videos of all time, but that doesn't make her a star. I mean, that was her only work, and it's like 10 years old.
Yeah, let's get something new, then we can get into it. We were talking about butt dialing the other day. Well, me and my girlfriend were wasted at a party. We went to have drunk sex in the back of her car. In about 15 minutes, we realized we had called her dad. 15 minutes later, 15 minutes of making out in the car.
Nice.
And we got lucky. He didn't say anything or get a voicemail. Thanks, guys. And hi, Lisa May.
He just pretended it didn't happen? Was that what it was?
Yep.
Speaking of the butt. Wait, what were you talking about?
butt dialing.
Right, yes. Dear Kevin and me, and Carrie writes in, I just bought some white pants for spring, and now, well, you can guess what my husband is trying to do thanks to listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. F you guys, says Carrie.
White pants!
It is that time of year. You should know what you're getting yourself into, ladies, if that's your wardrobe choice.
That's science.
That's science. It's not us saying it right.
Hello, Casey is so wrong about the same seat sitters. Listen to this chick and tell me if you want to date her. When my ex and I would go to dinner, he would start off sitting across from me. After we ordered a drink and an appetizer, he would then move and sit next to me. We would order our food sitting next to one another, but once the food came, he would move back across from me. I loved it, and hopefully I'll find another guy that does that.
Really?
I wrote back, you're not going to find another human. It's like musical chairs. I don't want to have to work that hard at dinner.
Here's an email on the debate, the Hunger Games versus Twilight. I guess a lot of well, you explain, Lisa. What's going on? Why is there so much controversy about these two franchises being compared to each other?
I really don't know, because they're such completely different movies. But I think it's because some people, me, think that Hunger Games is better, and so Twilight fans are getting upset about it.
All right. Well, Christian writes in, you guys are absolutely right. They are very similar on a lot of levels, and for some reason, women love both series. Of course, they're also both, based on very popular books. They're turned into movie franchises. They have those. I refuse to watch or read the Twilight stuff, though, because at its core, it's a love story. I'd much rather watch something that is action-oriented. That's why I love The Hunger Games so much, and I think other guys will enjoy it. Yes, they did cram a love interest into the movie, just like they injected a love interest into The Lord of the Rings, for Christ's sake, just to make it more palatable to the masses. Another thing about Twilight, I hate gay vampires that don't die in sunlight, and I hate effeminate boy dogs. So, point for Hunger Games. Excellent, Christian.
You're Kevin Abean. You must play I'm the Best every day this year. I will settle for nothing less.
Well, let me tell you a little something about I'm the Best. This is a YouTube rapper who has zero talent. Am I right about that? Yet has just become an absolute sensation because of this song.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
I think it's good that we're playing it, because some people may have gotten it out of their minds by now.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. Standing on a car, finger in the air. With some women's, with my fingers in their hair. Yes, I be the one that wins Street Fighter tournaments. Make $1 million without even earning it. I got the highest score in the world on my SAT. And then I went to Everest to learn how to slay them trees.
Sure.
I don't have to count to know I'm worth a billion. You know what bigger number? I am worth a gillion. I'm the best at watching 1990s videos.
Wow.
Power Rangers, all that Keenan Kill, all here we go. I'm the best at making beats, that's right, my voice to track. And my swag is off the charts. That's a fact.
There it is.
I'm the best.
Gillionaire is his name. Swag. You can see that video at kevinamine.com or krock.com. You can go to both places also to get email addresses. Write to us about anything you hear on the show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next.
Stop hitting me. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ, and it is 7:54.
I can't even tell when this show's on the air or off the
me
air.
Me either.
What the hell's going on?
Ralph is over here punching me in the head.
If I punch you in the head, you would not be talking right now on the microphone. I guarantee.
Ralph joins us now for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Abean Show. Then we're going to meet some wing girls coming up after the top.
Oh, did they bring in barbecue or what do they got?
Not that kind of wing.
They got
extra ranch?
Not that. Not the hell.
Extra ranch dressing?
Extra ranch!
Extra ranch, indeed. I am angry. Today's an angry day for me.
Why? Why are you mad?
Because I find a new showbiz story every 3 minutes and makes me furious. But before I get into my fury, let me give away some tickets to American Reunion. Doesn't make me furious.
That makes you happy.
It makes me anticipate this film with great relish. I loved American Pie. I liked the sequel. I liked American Wedding. And now American Reunion. The original cast back together again for what is probably their last time. April 5th, we're having a special K-Rock advanced screening at the ArcLight Pasadena. It's in theaters everywhere.
Is that a good one?
Yeah. They're all good, the ArcLights. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, April 6th, but you'll see it before anybody else. If you're one of our lucky winners. Here's the trivia question. This is going to surprise you. There have been 9 American Pie films in total.
What?
9 pictures in the franchise.
For most of us, not
this
true.
Is the third, right?
The what? Most of us, this is the fourth.
The fourth.
It was American Pie, American Pie 2, American Wedding, and then this one.
Right.
With the original casts.
Where did the other ones come in?
There have been 5 other sequels and various offshoot projects on American Pie. Most of them direct to video.
Oh, I see. That's why. Did you make it to the theater?
9 American Pie films altogether.
Wow.
Spinoffs, sequels. Only one actor from the original cast has appeared in all 9 of these projects. Call now if you know the answer. 1-800-520-1067. If you know the actor that has appeared in every single American Pie project, call now. Get through with the right answer. If you're one of the first 5 people to get through, you'll get a pair of passes to our very special advanced screening of American Reunion.
This is the actor with the worst screening of scripts. Who just says, okay.
Or with the biggest mortgage. You don't know.
Ryan Gosling.
And it wasn't Ryan Gosling.
All right.
Okay, back to my fury.
Yes, you're angry.
This morning, I start off with telling you about the racist Hunger Game fans.
Yes. Right,
which are ridiculous.
Which just chaps my ass.
Yeah.
Then I come back in the next hour with a more uplifting story about this wonderful documentary, Bully, that is about kids being bullied in public schools throughout our nation. It's a major problem. This documentary is, by all accounts, an important film, especially for kids to say, because it talks about dealing with the problem head on and what kids can do to help these kids who are being bullied.
Right.
And the other part of it is the repercussions of how it affects these kids who are bullied. It kind of puts a human face on people who are bullied when otherwise you might just think, oh, that's just a kid to make fun of.
Right. Stars of the documentary, amongst the stars, are this couple whose son killed themselves because of the bullying that he was facing at school.
So it's kind of gritty.
It's gritty, and it's realistic, and there is some language in there that is harsh, but realistic.
Right.
So the MPAA says, we will not give you a PG-13 rating, we'll give you an R rating, and the producers, the Weinstein Company, are saying, look, this is a film for kids, about kids, and they need to see it. We can't have a 17
right
year limit on who can get through.
12 to 17.
So they go back and forth, and finally, Weinstein Company says, you know what, forget it. We're at an impasse. We're going to release the film without a rating. Now, usually this means this is an X-rated film, it's a pornographic film, something like that, if it doesn't get a rating from the MPAA. So most theaters won't show it.
Right.
I told you this morning, AMC Theaters, very bravely and boldly, the second largest movie chain in America, has said, look, we're going to treat it as if it's an R. If you're accompanied by an adult and you're under 17, you can see the film. But we realize that is a little prohibitive, so you can download a permission slip on our website.
Right.
Get your parent to sign the permission slip, bring that to the theater. It's just as good as having the parent walk in.
Now, that all sounds great. What's wrong?
This morning, a new press release from the Parents Television Council.
Oh,
we're old friends of the Parents Television Council.
They're the same ones that complain about everything.
Yeah. American movie, AMC Theater should stick to its own policy about unrated movies, bully movie included. They say, this move, regardless of intentions, sets a precedent that threatens to derail the entire rating system.
Oh, why?
What?
It's going to bring movies down to its knees.
Wow. Why?
If a distribution company can simply decide to operate outside of the rating system in a case like Bully, nothing would prevent future filmmakers from doing precisely the same thing with potentially much more problematic material.
It's all voluntary, right?
Right. No one has to go see the movie. AMC is just making it available to people who want to. And by the way,
but it's a slippery slope, Bean. If you start releasing movies without ratings, next thing you know, Disney has dildos in it.
That's dumb.
Yes. No. Buzz Lightyear will have a dildo.
Dumb.
We're one step closer to everything being porn now if we allow this to happen.
Madness.
then they go on this. You got to read this statement. It's a great, you can go to EW.com, entertainmentweekly.com website. They've got the whole thing published there. But they say either ratings mean something or they don't. The NPAA's job is not to make subjective judgments about the merit of a film and the importance of a film's message. Their sole task is to take an objective measure of the adult content in a film and apply appropriate rating. Well, that's just not the case at all.
Yeah.
They constantly, every movie that comes in front of them has to be judged on its own merits.
Yeah.
How much language is in it, how much nudity is in it, what the nature of the film is. They're constantly being subjective about it because it's art. It's not numbers. It's not a list of integers that you can add up and come up with a sum total. It has to be taken by a case-by-case basis because each case is unique.
Yeah.
So they are demanding that AMC follow their own policy, as they say, about not screening unrated movies. To which I say, if it's AMC's policy, can't they do whatever the hell they want with their policy?
Yes, they can.
Why do they have to listen to these douchebags?
They don't have to go, hey, we used to have a policy that was against this, so now we can't do it. That's absurd. That's stupid.
They're
reacting to a changing situation.
This film is, and then they have the balls to say, it's unfortunate the serious problem of schoolyard and online bullying is being overshadowed by a misguided and manufactured controversy over the rating system.
Yeah, they did that.
They're the one manufacturing the controversy about the rating system.
Yeah.
Focus on the film.
I honestly can't believe the MPAA is being so inflexible on this.
I can't either.
I think they're on the losing end of this argument.
It's they caused the problem by not recognizing the importance. And this isn't even like, oh well, you know, it's a comedy, and you know the teenagers shouldn't be saying these things. This is a documentary. These are actually kids saying these words. This is not manufactured for titillation.
It's not fiction. Right. Yeah.
It's not trying to sell tickets. It's trying to present a problem that needs to be addressed, and the NPAA is being inflexible on it. So,
where's the outrage there?
It's right here.
Great.
That's where your
question,
outrage is.
Beer mug. This is like, you know, when NBC decided they were going to air Schindler's List, you know, despite the language and the brief nudity. And there they said, look, in context of what this movie is portraying, it's important to leave this in. We're making a judgment choice that we're not making for other movies. We have the right to do that. So does the AMC Theater.
Obviously.
Thank you, Lana Del Rey. Exit point.
Parents Television Council is like the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
I just want to get like a super friends group of just angry artists together and teach them a lesson, explain things to them.
You know what needs to happen is people just need to start ignoring them again. Just go, noted, thanks for your input. We're going to move along with our lives now.
Yeah. Or napalm. Those are the options.
I'm not saying which option to take.
I'm just trying to talk about what options are out there.
We should probably just ignore them.
Or napalm.
I'm saying not napalm.
Right, I'm saying there's choices.
But everything, I'm saying
be so black and white. Let's see gray.
All right.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question and let him off my soapbox?
We do.
I believe Jeremy has the answer to the trivia question. Jeremy, what actor from American Pie has been in all 9 of these spinoffs and sequels?
Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy, that's correct.
Wow, that was excitement.
You're going to the very special K-Rock advance screening of American Reunion. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, okay?
Thank you, Rob.
You're very welcome. That's if the Parents Television Council will let you.
If they're okay with that.
See the movie. And by the way, aren't you the Parents Television Council? Stay out of the movies! You've already done enough to F up television.
Point.
You're not the Parents Movie Council.
You do have the television in your
title.
That's
your policy. Your policy is to talk about television. I think you should stick to your policy and suck a bag of...
Okay. We haven't heard if Major League Soccer is weighing in on this or General Electric yet.
That's right. How do they feel? Congratulations to Aldo, Rafael, Isla, and Chuck, who are also winners for the trivia contest.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda has won tickets. Yeah, she won.
She has, really. That's great news.
Yesterday is gone.
What are you talking about?
Today's celebrity birthdays, however, Reba McEntire is 57 years old. See how rattled I am?
Yeah, you're rattled.
Brett Ratner, the director, is 43. Vince Vaughn is 42. Julia Stiles celebrates her 31st birthday. And Lady Gaga is 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Have you heard about the Unity Tour? 311 and Slightly Stupid. We got tickets you can win again next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And backstage passes too to the exclusive backstage barbecue with the bands. Get all those details at krock.com. So let's talk about pro wing girls, shall we? Tara, Ali, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
It's hard to decipher how to pronounce your names when Dave, the King of Mexico, is introducing you.
I believe it's Tara.
It's right, Tara, yeah. And Ellie.
Ali.
That's how he says Ali, though. He says Ellie.
So we have to double check with everybody he introduces us to. So we got an email from Arish. Arish, I think is his name, a couple of days ago. And he said,
Arish. He's one of our spokespeople, yeah.
Okay. He's awesome. And he said, I think your listeners will dig this. Pro Wing Girls. This is a hot chick that goes with you for an evening out to help you what? What's the goal?
Well, she's actually a social liaison. So basically, she becomes the leader in the situation. She'll meet a client at a club or a bar, and she'll basically pioneer forward and network the whole room for him. So they'll kind of meet up and have like...
So the dude is either a complete loser, really, or lazy as hell. Right?
No, you know, actually, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of businessmen who just don't have time to date. There's divorcees who maybe are just not used to it. They've been
married. It's been too long or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. There are shy men who maybe are just a little underconfident.
Right.
You know, there's other people that just want to gain access to clubs.
But 90% are losers.
No. Totally. You know, this is for everybody.
85%.
No.
Kevin has it in his mind, Dara. You're not going to be able to win this argument with facts, okay? What is it, if you could explain, and we've always heard this our whole lives, that women perk up their cute little ears and become suddenly attracted to a guy if they see he's already with another woman who looks attractive. What's that about? How does that work?
Absolutely. That does work that way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, it's actually rooted in evolution. So this is a primal thing that's about 50 to 100,000 years old. There's no getting around this. It's basically the reptilian brain that says that, okay, you know, when we were back in the tribe days, okay, this man is with, you know, has been pre-selected by a beautiful woman, which means A, well, he's not going to kill me. He's totally safe.
Right.
And B, he must have social value if she has selected him. So now, fast forward to modern times, we have these men who are just looking to up their social status.
Right.
And having a 10 on your arm doesn't hurt that.
No, not at all.
No, yeah, and it's funny how effective it is because so many women all of a sudden see this woman, they don't necessarily know the backstory, and all of a sudden there's an aura around this man, and the women are like, well, what does he have?
But
I want to know him.
But at some point, doesn't he have to then step up and be interesting?
Oh, well, here's the thing. So
she works through. Let's say I need to get a date, and
right.
Allie comes with me, and she goes right. And works the room, talks to people, says, my retarded friend over here can't get a date, or my brother, what's your cover story?
What do you say?
Why aren't you with him?
Because once you say you two aren't together, doesn't that diminish the interest in the guy?
No, absolutely not.
Because now he's just in the friend
territory.
What's
the excuse that you're not together?
Well,
that you're there,
know,
but not together?
It depends on the client. Sometimes they'll have a backstory of, like, this is my coworker, this is my friend. Honestly, right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
The fact that a beautiful woman has chosen to hang out with him on any level shows that he has high social status.
This is my grandpa. Something like that.
That so might Allie, not be the best.
Allie, let me ask you this. So how would this work? Let's use Kevin as the example here. You're out with Kevin, and I know that you should charge double what you're charging if you're trying to line somebody
up
with Kevin. But what would you do? Would you literally get up, leave the table, walk around to other women in the wherever you guys are, restaurant or bar or whatever, and talk to them about Kevin?
Well, we wouldn't be sitting at a table, would we?
Well,
that's not the point of the question,
okay,
Kevin.
I'm sorry. But I'm saying, if we're
you're
just
getting derailed in the insignificant part.
Okay,
is
I'm
that
sorry.
What you would do? Is walk around the room and say, "Hey, do you see the dumb blonde guy over there? He's with me, and let me tell you about him."
Well, no, I wouldn't say that particularly, but I would go around the room and I would build up. I would just social network for him, and
I mean, what do you say to approach women? Like, what's the first thing you say?
Well, most of the
hey,
time,
what are you doing? Something like that.
What's up?
Most of the time, I would go up to them and just say, "Hey, I'm with a great guy. Come over and have some drinks, and just, you know, get the conversation started." And generally, if they see that he's with a beautiful woman,
mm-hmm.
They'll go right on over.
So women have they have their defensive shield up
at
bars,
absolutely.
And then when they meet
absolutely.
You, perhaps that drops and
it
she comes
does
over.
Drop, right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it's not creepy to be approached by a woman.
But isn't it a violation of the sisterhood, though, that you're basically lying to them about this guy? I mean, you're vouching for a guy that you're being paid to vouch for rather than give woman-to-woman advice, hey, this guy's worth checking out.
Well, I guess you could look at it like that. But honestly, it's sort of more like we're basically getting these men to put their best foot forward.
Right.
These men
have— Their best foot is Allie.
Well, no, the best foot is them. They have Allie to build their confidence. But basically these men, for whatever reason, whether they're out of practice or maybe a little overwhelmed, they aren't coming forward as their best self.
You know,
so basically she's giving him the confidence to step forward and say, this is who I am. Okay. And he actually ends up meeting a good match for himself.
Yeah, I don't think it's really a bad thing that Allie's doing, because I think of men that you would meet at work that you get to know through that environment, that and then you like them. But if you were to meet them in a bar one night, you know, you see them there and maybe there's just nothing going on between you, you don't get that vibe, or you've got your defenses up, so that same guy you don't want to have anything to do with, that if you ever took the time to know,
I stopped listening a long time ago. Okay.
Maybe I have said that well.
I'd like Allie to speak for Lisa from now on.
Wouldn't the first question be, why aren't you with him? All right, we need to take a break. I'm sorry. Hold on. We need to take a break. Tara is here. Allie is here, or Ellie, as Dave says, from Pro Wing Girls. We'll take a break and come right.
You don't have to air the dirty family laundry when we have guests, Kevin. Try to behave. Tara is in studio talking about Pro Wing Girls. Allie is with her. She's one of the Pro Wing Girls. PWGmanagement.com. This is a service where, guys, you go out, you have a beautiful woman on your arm, like Allie, and she basically works the room for you. You look good because you're with a girl that will vouch for you. Do you, Allie, do you train? In other words, you spend an hour before you go out kind of learning all the pertinent facts so that when the girls say, well, what does he do for a living and how old is he and does he live at home and does he have a house and things like that, do you have to kind of learn about your client before you speak for them?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we generally train beforehand.
She has to learn so that she can lie. He doesn't play video games in his basement all day, every day.
Do you train the guys at all?
Good question.
Normally, there's no need for training. Usually when we go out, their confidence level rises a bit. And it generally just comes organically.
But if you are with them and you bring somebody over and she seems nice and then they aren't, they do things or say things that you go, oh, God, this is bad. Do you take them aside and talk to them?
Throw them a rope or something?
Really?
That's never happened?
That's never happened.
What?
Well, it's really amazing the transformation that takes forward. Basically, it's funny how playing this game actually becomes the reality. He goes in being like, okay, I want to look like a rock star. And he comes out of the club being like, I'm a freaking rock star. So it's actually
funny. Then he goes home to his mom
it.
And plays video games. He's like,
I'm like a rock star.
Really not a rock star. Yeah.
Now, what's the policy? And I'm sure you get asked this all the time, Tara. What's the policy on the guy who is going to walk into the restaurant or whatever, and he's going to look at Allie and he's going to go, she's the hottest one in here. I want to go out with her. I want her to be my actual date. What do you do about that?
As soon as you guys sat down, my first thought was I would spend the whole night hitting on Allie.
Right. But
that's got to be a nightmare for her.
You know, actually what ends up happening is he really quickly realizes that Allie is way more valuable as a wing girl that can get 10 numbers for him or one quality woman for him rather than just hitting on Allie. There's no point in that. And actually, we've never had an issue with that, which is pretty surprising.
If I need to describe you what the point is on hitting on Allie, then you're in the wrong business.
No, but
believe
me,
there's
a
point.
She's way more valuable. And also, he sees her more as an asset, as a leader in the situation. He needs her. He can't waste his resources on just being like,
so
all
she's
right,
the
I've
one
got
that,
one date.
She's the one that gets all of the girls in there to kind of know that he exists.
She empowers the situation. She goes through. There's no place where Allie can't get into. She can get into any club. This is cheaper than bottle service. This is cheaper than bribing the bouncer.
Yeah.
She can get in anywhere, and she can talk to anyone. No one's not going to want to talk to Allie.
You've never been a guy trying to get inside a club without a girl. That's the worst thing in the world.
How often do guys not get a number when you go out? Because, I mean, it's got to also depend on the mix in the room.
I've actually never seen. You know, this is going to sound crazy, but honest to God, we've only had positive feedback. Everyone's been like, you've helped my dating life so much. I feel more confident. This is like the holy grail of dating right here. So we've only had good things.
Allie, how do you like this as a job?
I love it. I love helping people. And I think that this really betters someone's life. So
Do you have a boyfriend? And is it weird for him that this is your job, is basically to date a different guy every night?
No, I don't have a boyfriend.
Well, it's not a date, and that's really important to say.
But it would look like that to the boyfriend, though, is what
it
I'm
could,
saying.
Yeah, potentially. It could be an issue.
Let's take Kim's call real quick. She's dialing us up here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067, with a question for the Pro Wing Girls. Again, the website, if you want to check it out or sign up or ask questions, is pwgmanagement.com. Hi, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I was curious. Do you run criminal background checks on these guys before you take them on as clients?
Just criminal background checks? Do you run any kind of background check on the dude to know if he's... All right.
We definitely screen all the people that we talk to beforehand, and actually we have the staff to do all that work for us. So we already know who he is, his information, and just kind of the basic, you know, what he looks like.
Do you draw the line someplace? Like Grand Theft Auto is a little too much?
You know, if we suspect that there's anything weird going on, then obviously we're not going to put our girls in any unsafe situations. That being said, we've never had a situation. So.
But the reason Kim's asking, I'm guessing, is because of if she's the girl that then comes over and talks to the guy, then all of a sudden if the guy has some kind of a bad past, then that's trouble.
Right, yeah. I mean, like I said, we've never had an issue. And she is, you know, in a public place. She goes to the club, you know, meets him there, and she leaves without him. And she can always have a friend or boyfriend or whoever come pick her up after. She's only, you know, responsible for the few hours in the club.
If I could just speak up for those of us that do drive white vans with no windows, we're not automatically creepy if that's our choice of vehicle. Some people just like that style. Have any of your girls, Tara, ever wanted to date the client? Has that ever come up where they thought, "How, this is a great guy. I want to go out with him."
You know, I don't know. I don't really go to that level of like, "Well, did you like him?" Because that's really not the point of this at all.
Right.
You know, it's not a date. She knows that. She's a professional. So she goes out there. She does her job. Obviously, we have a no contact policy, so we can't have people dating. That's totally not what this is about. So
got it.
Is it all expensive? Right.
You know, it's actually
good
not.
Good question. How much does it cost?
It's really affordable. You know, it depends on how many hours she's going to be out there working. But for 3 hours, it's $260. So it's actually really affordable.
And all the drinks she can drink.
Actually, no, we ask them to, you know, be safe. We don't want any of our girls getting hurt. So she's really not, you know, supposed to.
So it's
but
like
she can
what?
Still have
like
fun.
$85, $90 an hour or something like that.
Yeah, it's really affordable.
Okay.
So, and especially compared to a lot of the other, you know, tricks that people are trying to use with seminars and, you know, pick up artists. All those things and bottle service, all those things are really expensive.
Yeah.
And this
and
isn't and more
and
effective.
Work.
So.
And you only have to use this once, by the way. If you go to the right, you know, if you go to the right place, you might get four or five numbers out of it.
Well, and we're in six cities nationwide. So we've got, you know, New York, Toronto, Montreal, Miami, and Las Vegas, and LA. So you can really do this anywhere. And also we have, we signed a joint venture with Blaze Models, who obviously produces some really beautiful girls who are highly professional with Stephanie Blaze being their leader. So, I mean, you're in good hands. J.P. Ratty, the guy who founded this, is a very smart man and knows what he's doing. And, yeah, definitely entrepreneurial with this.
We're getting ready to say goodbye here again. The website one more time is pwgmanagement.com. The Twitter account is ProWingGirls. We don't have time to go to Matt's call, but it's heterosexual.
It's pwgmanagement. On Twitter, and we also have a Facebook.
Okay.
And our number is 310-967-9908.
Matt wanted to ask real quick, at this point, is it heterosexual only? Do you have a gay wing of the grouper?
You know, that's something we're actually looking into. Pre-selection works with females only, as far as we're aware of, primarily.
Because guys don't need to pre-select.
They don't. It's a whole different system. So we have thought of this, and maybe one day we'll expand into this, but, you know, pre-selection is really women-oriented.
Fantastic. I'm so glad we had you guys in.
Thank
Allie, you
so
can
much.
Stay. Tara, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Good luck with the deal.
Away.
It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
I want to talk about the Three Stooges.
The Why? Three Stooges.
Yes. The Three Stooges are back. You know, the movie's coming out in a couple of weeks. The Farrelly Brothers have the new Three Stooges movie out.
Right.
Let me get the temperature of the room here on the Three Stooges, because they are an entertainment act that has not been really high profile. I was going to almost say popular, but I guess there are still people who enjoy the old movies. But they haven't been high profile in decades, right? Three Stooges haven't been on. They're not on TV. You don't hear about them. You don't see them. What did you grow up at all with the Stooges, Kevin?
No. Here's the thing about the Three Stooges. I've been told that since I'm a guy, I love the Three Stooges.
Okay.
But I don't. I don't find it funny. I'm not.
In other words, you've watched a little bit of it. Just doesn't do anything for you.
Oh well, that guy sure did hit the other guy. So I'm not really that interested in this.
All right. How about you, Muggsy?
I knew a little bit about him growing up, but I wasn't really into him.
So far from, you know, the first two people I've asked, the movie has a little bit of an uphill climb. How about you, Lisa?
I do remember them when I was little, seeing those movies occasionally and never really enjoying them, and I have no interest in this movie.
All right, so we're 0-for-3 so far. So here's some details on the movie. Sean Hayes is playing Larry. He, of course, from Will and Grace. Will Sasso is playing Curly. He's been in a ton of TV, Mad TV also. And a guy named Chris Diamantalapoulos is playing Mo.
The only thing that makes me interested in it is the Farrelly brothers.
Yes.
They have, I like their stuff. So
decent track record, right. There's a nunnery involved in the film. Jane Lynch is playing the Mother Superior. She's funny.
Yeah,
okay.
She is.
That helps.
Jennifer Hudson is one of the nuns. She is Sister Rosemary.
Okay.
Larry David is playing a nun.
What?
He's a nun?
He is a nun. Kate Upton is playing a nun.
What?
Would I say Kate Upton's in the film as Sister Bernice? Are you perhaps interested?
Yes!
Because you know they're not covering her up completely,
now
right?
Now I'm there.
There's a reason for that.
Brian Doyle Murray, who of course is the good acting Murray, he's in the movie as well. And a bunch of other people that you've heard of. So Sofia Vergara, also in the movie.
Yes, all right, I'm in.
And she is in the trailer as well. And the reason I bring all this up is here so far we've got a room of people who are not all that interested in seeing the Three Stooges movie, but I want to present to you the audio from the trailer from the Farrelly Brothers movie that is coming out 2 weeks from Friday. And you can see the trailer at KROQ.com. We put up a post at KevinandBean.com. So I'll play as much as you want, but here's the trailer of the new Three Stooges movie.
A fire hose. We can lower ourselves down on the ground.
The kid's right. It's foolproof.
Everybody ready for a good time? Shall we, fellas? You got any dynamite? Come on, what's the matter with you?
You are you guys in yet?
Wow.
I'm back out.
I don't know.
Idiots, get out of here. Now look what you've done.
Me? You started it.
Hey, leave him alone.
Shut up.
Jesus, are you serious?
All right, now I may be in.
Come on.
Now I may be in. Because they've gone way over the top. Now I may be in.
I can't.
Plus, did you say Kate Upton?
Yes, I did say Kate Upton.
I'm in.
I can't count how many times people get hit in the head in this movie. It's like, it's got to be thousands.
You know what's cool, though? They never get hurt. And that's cool.
They never get hurt.
Yep. That's true.
Quite a world.
How do you get smashed in the head with a frying pan and then poked in the eyes and get your nose and your ears twisted off? It never gets hurt. All right, a little bit more of the trailer. I think finished. Too subtle?
At the beginning, it was a little annoying, but then once it comes around, 5 minutes in and they're still doing that.
It does seem like it'd be an exhausting film to go see, doesn't it?
We occasionally will play a clip of just fighting because that cracks us up. You know, somebody's in a movie and there's some fighting in it. Right. And we just play fighting sound effects. We go, look, well, you get the idea. That's sort of what that's like. But only they keep going and going and going. I don't know. Farrelly Brothers, some of the women you announced, I think
Sophie
perhaps.
Sophie Vergara, Kate Upton, yeah.
Did they do that movie with Matt Damon where he was a Siamese twin?
I believe that
was him. Or conjoined twins is the proper way to say
that. I believe that was him, yeah.
That was one of the worst movies
I've ever seen. I didn't see
that one.
They're not 100%.
I'm out.
Really? Wow. Well, I'll let you know how it is. I think I'm in.
All right.
I think I'm in. Bean, you don't go to anything, but if you did, would you go?
I don't think this is for me. I am amused by the trailer, though. Yeah. I will tell you. That's a dedication to physical comedy.
I'm going to have to go to the website and see that, though.
All right.
You've got to go. It's up at KROQ.com. You got to see. I think, obviously, it adds even more to it when you can see it. But I wanted to bring it up because it'll get lost in the shuffle of all the other movies coming out. But a couple. Adam Carolla joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous KROQ. Hector writes in. Hector, a frequent complainer about the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph.
Yeah.
Hey, what does a visual slapstick comedy more justice in playing just the audio on the radio? Once again, good job, guys.
Wow, Hector the Destroyer.
Hector the Rector.
Excellent point.
Pulling a big black man.
Come on. We don't need any of that, Kevin. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
It's a long time coming, but just announced yesterday by the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, Adam West will finally receive his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame next week, Thursday, April the 5th, 11:30 a.m. So I'm telling you, pull the kids out of school, take the day off of work, come down to 6764 Hollywood Boulevard and join us for the ceremony next Thursday the 5th. I would like to see a crowd of mythic proportions. I would like to have the National Guard called out. I would like a Tom Morello moment where there's tear gas shot into the crowd and they pull the plug on us and we all have to take to the streets protesting. All right, maybe not that. But I'm saying it would be nice if there was a big crowd for the event.
Ralph, you're friends with Mr. West.
I am.
Is this just another honor in a long showbiz career of 60 years, or is this significant? Does this really mean something to him?
I think it really means something to him, but not for the reasons you may think. I think it means something to him because so many of his friends and certainly his family have been behind this and working to get him this for so long that I think he is touched and honored that everyone put themselves out and worked so hard and cared so much to be able to obtain this for him.
Yeah.
So this is a symbol of the people around him who care enough, who really kind of had to work a lot long and hard to get him this honor. So I think that is significant to him.
Shocking that he didn't already have a star decades ago, too.
To many of us. Yeah. I think that's what started the uproar, was that his daughter and her husband and myself, we all separately came to the conclusion that he needed it, and it was ridiculous that he didn't have one. And then as we all separately started the process, we crossed paths and became friends and started working together. So it's been a long time coming, and I'm honored that Adam has asked me to speak on his behalf during the induction ceremony, and Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy, will also be there on Thursday. So it's going to be quite the event. So come on down.
This is Adam West. Get a life, Ralph.
Adam, how dare you? After all I've given to you, the best years of my life. Some reboots are unnecessary. Hell, most reboots are unnecessary. However, this one has my attention. You remember the Stephen King book, Carrie?
Yes.
About the girl who is the outsider, who has telekinetic powers and becomes prom queen. Mm-hmm. Ironically, is voted prom queen by her bullying friends in high school. Mm-hmm. Made into a classic film from 1976 starring Sissy Spacek. Brian De Palma was the director, and it's that classic scene where they spill the pig's blood on her, remember? At the prom, she loses her mind.
Horrifying.
And bad things start to happen to those people. They're remaking it, and Chloe Moretz will be starring as Carrie.
Ooh, that's great.
What a good little actress.
That's why I'm interested, because I think she is just terrific, and I think she'll wreck it in this role. I think she'll do a great job. Have you seen her in 30 Rock at all, playing the niece of, or the granddaughter of the guy who owns Cabletown?
I guess I haven't seen that
yet. The company that's taking over 30 Rock. She's done a bunch of episodes, and she's just hilarious on that show. And, of course, she was great in Kick-Ass as well. So
I just think you're terrific.
Good choice. Another reboot, the Jack Ryan movies. Paramount Pictures apparently is rebooting that franchise. These are the films such as Hunt for Red October. Alec Baldwin starred as Jack Ryan in that. Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. Harrison Ford was Jack Ryan in those films. Some of All Fears, I think Ben Affleck played him
in that. Right. That's right. Good pull.
Chris Pine has been cast as the new Jack Ryan.
He could be good.
He could be good. That's
fine, yeah.
And Kenneth Branagh apparently in talks to direct the first of the Tom Clancy movies. No word on which novel they're going to use yet, but they may go back to the some of the older ones, or may pick one of the other ones that hasn't been filmed yet. So we'll have to wait.
When are they going
to
start rebooting the Harry Potter movies? That's my question.
Finally, how long do we have to wait?
Because nobody's seeing those anymore. Those are so old and dusty.
How about Hunger Games? We need a remake of Hunger Games, I think.
Seriously, because look how old those actors are. They can't possibly reprise their roles.
They ruined it, putting all those black actors in there.
That's what I heard.
That's what you were saying.
Oh, man. You got to read this. Seek it out. It's called Hunger Games Tweets. It's on Tumblr, Tumblr. Mm-hmm. It's just a collection of screen caps of tweets from all over the world of these Hunger Games fans who are furious because black actors have certain roles in the movie. You would think you're living in 1956 Alabama, the way some of these people are talking.
It's not like you went to see a movie about President Clinton and they made him a black guy, okay? Right. They just took a character in a book who's a black guy and made him a black guy in the movie.
It's right? Really insane. Lots of the characters they're complaining about are described as having dark skin in the book, and yet people are still complaining. Why? What? How could it possibly make a difference? I have no idea.
And even
do they think there's going to be no black people in the future? That's why they're offended?
They hope.
I saw the Jetsons, and there were no black people in the Jetsons.
Even if it's a character that in your mind you were picturing differently than the actor that they cast, whatever with that, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. I don't.
Everybody wants everything their
way. Now you know why I hate people.
That's the world we live in. Today's celebrity birthdays: Reba McEntire, country singer and star of her own TV series for many seasons. 57 years old today. Lisa co-starred with Reba in her
series.
Yeah,
we're close friends.
Are you?
We stayed in touch after working together all those years.
Now, you
did that one episode where I had
one scene of one episode of the show and all the years that it ran.
Two lines, Bean.
And there's still a picture in my living room of me and Reba.
Is there really?
Yes. I love that picture.
Oh, Lisa. Oh, that makes me a little sad. Salt of Salt and Pepper is 46 years old today. Director Brett Ratner is 43. Vince Vaughn turns 42 years old today. Julia Stiles is 31. And Lady Gaga celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Cabin by the Sea is the name of the new Dirty Heads album coming out in June. That's called Spread Too Thin here on the world famous K-Rock. Adam Carolla, what's going on, man? Was that a surprise to you, Beer Mug, that I was going to ask? Go to Adam Cole on the phone. Ace Man.
Yeah.
Hi, Adam.
Get it
I'm
on.
Sorry. We Go got on, the Beer Mug it. Factor trying to keep us apart. Listen, you're going to be doing a bunch of stuff coming up, including Bobcat Goldthwait with you at the Irvine Improv. That's happening on next Thursday night. Tickets on sale for that. Then you're going to be down in San Diego in May with your friend Dennis Prager. I noticed this weekend you're going to Kansas City, Missouri, and Lincoln, Nebraska. How does it work when you're on the road taking your stand-up? Adam, do you just fly in, do the show, and fly back out, or do you spend a lot of time in each city, or what do you do?
I really spend as little time as I can in each city not getting to know the people. I know that sounds different than what a lot of guys say. I try not to get to know anybody except for the people at the hotel. And I always request that the people who work on my floor are from different cities. So
I like that.
I get to know nobody from the city. Yeah, it's always, it's funny. People said to me, you do these interviews, you call into KC or you call into Nebraska, and they're like, what's the biggest difference between living in L.A. and coming out to Nebraska? And, you know, you'd think it'd be, you know, celebrities, or you think it would be many other things other than, for me, which it's always the same answer, which is using the bathroom at the gas station. Because when you travel through Nebraska, or you travel through Iowa, or you travel through almost any city other than L.A., and you have to pull over at some point and use the bathroom, there's always some chubby-cheeked chick with, like, pink cheeks and blonde hair. And she's, like, behind the counter, and you walk in, and she scares you because she goes, "Ha!" And you go, "What?" And she goes, "How you doing?" And you go, "Oh, good." And then you go, and then you get in that L.A. I guess you can tell people are from L.A. because you get in that apology mode. "Hey, listen, we're really far from the airport. Anyway, I have a bladder issue. I drank like a 90-ounce Mr. Pibb. Could I use your bathroom? I'll buy $80 worth of jerky." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, go ahead." And you're like, "Wow, what is going on? There must be some weird sting operation going on. There's something in that bathroom." Like, it's so funny because it's only the bathroom. That's the only thing I noticed. Because you go to L.A., there is no bathroom. You cannot use the bathroom. You get yelled at by the guy for even wanting to use the bathroom. It's out of the question. And as a matter of fact, we've all been broken. Like, when you're driving through L.A., nobody says, "Oh, pull over at this 76 station. I got to drop a deuce." Everyone's like, "Are you crazy? You either crap yourself or we'll find a wooded area."
No, you're right. In L.A., they won't let you get into the bathroom if you need to have a baby. But it seems like in the rest of the country, they're like, "Yeah, you don't have to buy anything. Just come on in and use it. I'm glad we're able to be of service. Help yourself."
It's insane. We were driving from Spokane to Portland. We just stopped in a pizzeria, and it was like 10 in the morning. I felt bad. Like, "I'm not ordering a pizza." "Nah, go ahead. Use the bathroom." It's crazy.
That is unbelievable. And I bet that is just shocking for people listening right now who live in Southern California to hear that story. But you're absolutely right.
I'm telling you, people, if you want to feel great about this land of ours, forget that thing where you and your son go to every ballpark in North America, that crappy Visa commercial BS. You use every bathroom in this fine country of ours, and you see what kind of American hospitality still exists outside of this godforsaken city.
You can go to AdamCarolla.com to buy tickets for all the upcoming shows and, of course, to get the podcast and so much more. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 2 and going down at 1. Oh, I could start with 3, but what the hell? Let's do it anyway. I don't know why. Just thinking about ghosts. You know, and the ghosts, there's all those ghost shows. There's 15 ghost shows on TV, and the ghost is always haunting someplace. And the answer for the ghost is like, why is that ghost just walking up and down the hall? Unfinished business. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, walking up and down the hall, that ever finished any business? You ever feel like pacing's ever got anything done? Like, I'd like to see you come back and finish some tax papers from the previous tax year, or finish putting on the garage addition, or do something. But the unfinished business part of the excuse of why the ghost has to keep coming back is nonsense. And also, I'll tell you, I feel the unfinished business. I even feel it on a Sunday. But when I'm dead, I'm done. I'm letting the world know. When I'm gone, don't expect me to come back and dot any I's and cross any T's. My business will be finished. And you know what? We never expect any dead people to finish anything. Like, nope. You're off the hook, right?
You got a reasonable excuse for not showing up if you're dead.
It is like, it's a great combination. It's like not having legs, not driving a pickup truck, and being semi-retarded. No one ever says, hey, can you help us move? You're done, man. It's like my grandma's been dead for 3 years. It's not like I'm sitting around going, why didn't I get a Christmas gift last year from that bitch?
Exactly.
Oh, boy. When I'm dead, I'm going to give her peace of my mind. This is BS. The other thing, playing at the kids, I got my twins, they're playing the T-ball now.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple observations. One is my son is up to bat. He's holding the bat down low. He's in his form is all left up. He's whiffing at the ball. And he's chopping at it, like he's swinging up and down, not horizontally. And I'm yelling through the fence. I turn into one of those dads, you know. Sonny, swing level, swing level. And then I realized about the fourth time I yelled swing level, swing level. I thought maybe he doesn't know what the word level means. I don't know if a five-year-old. I don't know if I knew what level meant at five. So then I yelled through the fence, Sonny, do you know what level means? And he looked back with a very snarky look, and he condescendingly said, yes, Father, they have levels on Angry Birds.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's what he thought you were talking about, was that kind of level.
Turn the corner. He's done.
Oh.
That's it.
Yeah,
wow.
You lost him to technology. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's right. I got to send him to one of them Christian academies where they yell at him not to be gay all day.
How does he translate that, though, to swinging a bat?
He must have just been confused, I think, is all. But how is he the son of a carpenter? He must have grown up in a house with a level that you use to build things, Adam.
I don't know, but you find yourself yelling stuff because, like, if you played sports, you're like, your stance is too open. Close your stance. And like, you realize they don't know anything. They don't do any of that stuff. Close your stance. Open your stance. Lean in. Get your head. Keep your, you know, you say, like, put your eye on the ball. They'll pull their eye out of their socket.
You got to be careful, I guess.
Also, another thing I realized, why everyone wants to know why all the parents are overzealous and turning into such asswipes, I realize every kid now has the parent's last name on the back of the jersey. When I was a kid, when all of us were kids, we played Little League sports, they issued you a jersey, and at the end of the year, you turned it in. Now everyone buys their own jersey, and everyone has their name written on the back of everything. My kids are 5. They have Carolla written on the back of their jersey. I didn't have Carolla on the back of a jersey until I was a senior in high school. So what happens is you're sitting there, and you're seeing your name. If the guy just back in the day just said Liberty, Rooter, and Drain, or whatever the sponsor was that they had back in the day, like on the back of my jersey, I don't think anyone would say anything, but now that my name's on the back of the kid's jersey, I'm screaming at him to get a hit. Whereas if my name wasn't on the back of the jersey, I'd just turn to the person next to me and be like, do you know who this Quimby is? I don't know who this Quimby is. Oh, my kid's the big black guy's hitting the dingers. Yeah. I don't know who this dude is. So maybe the names shouldn't be on the back of the jersey. And last but not least, number one, a lot of guys angry about the changes being made to their beloved Ninja Turtles. I don't know how many times I have to talk about the nerds and the comic books and the 37-year-old dudes that are pissed off because you took Porthos and you made him from outer space, and Van Gogh now has a little different pattern on his shell. What is going on with this? And no wonder the terrorists hate us. This is what adult males... Could you imagine being growing up and having your dad and his friends arguing over a cartoon? Like, that Clutch Cargo movie was so fake. I'm so pissed off.
I don't know how we got to the point in this country where we have the time to worry about what Michael Bay is going to do with the Ninja Turtle reboot. I really don't.
But just picture your dad in his cardigan sweater, tie, and pipe talking to his other engineer friends who look like they're from Mad Men about how PO'd they were about what they did to the Underdog franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wouldn't exist. And I say, fellas, if you are really PO'd about what they've done, you should either be under... See, you actually, nobody should be pissed off, because if you're under 30, you shouldn't know what Michael Bay's doing or know what he's talking about. And if you're over 30, you should move on. And everyone says, oh, yeah, but I grew up with that. Well, guess what? I grew up worshiping at the altar Speed Racer, and then at some point I sprouted a pube, and they made a super crappy Speed Racer remake in, like, 2002, and guess who didn't give a crap?
Yep, didn't affect you at all. 40-year-old
with lots of pubes.
Exactly. There you go. AdamCarolla.com is the place to go. Buy tickets to see him on stage next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, with our old friend Bobcat Goldthwait. Tickets are on sale now for just $25. Then you get San Diego show with Dennis Prager and the Night of Comedy for Project ALS. Sounds like a great all-star night of comedy. All those details and podcasts available at AdamCarolla.com. Have a great week, my friend. Thanks for coming on. Congratulations to Trisha Mattson from Newport Beach.
Love Trish.
Do you fan Trisha?
She's great.
Well, she won a thing, and then she also won another thing. First thing was 311 and Slightly Stupid, August 24th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And then the other thing is passes to the exclusive K-Rock Backstage Barbecue with the bands. How about that? Giving that away all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock. Please go to krock.com for details. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Having fun. Having fun in the other room in a Twitter war with the Parents Television Council.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Are you hearing from supporters of them?
Oh, yes.
Really?
From them themselves. They have a Twitter account.
Excellent.
The PTC, at the PTC on Twitter. If you want to go and give them a ration, I surely appreciate it.
Okay.
The people are joining in. We're having a lot of fun over there. And there's one wingnut who's a supporter just saying, but AMC, they have to follow their policy. To which I responded, it's their policy. They can do whatever they want with it. Not your call.
Yep.
What good's a policy if they don't follow it? Don't worry about it. Private business. They run their business the way they see fit. They don't have to bend to your will, you loon.
Excellent.
So we're having a lot of fun talking about Bully, the movie that is being released without a rating because the producers, the Weinstein Company, and the MPAA couldn't come to agreement about whether it should be PG-13 or R because of some language in it. And for those of you who know anything about the documentary, it is the true story of several families who have been destroyed by the bullying that's going on in schools throughout the United States. And you see the parents of a student who was bullied to the point where he committed suicide. You see, they talk to the kids who are bullied on a daily basis. They film it. You see the actual bullying going on school buses. And you notice how unresponsive the school administrators are, and it's a horrible, horrible problem. And this documentary is trying to point that out and get it seen by kids. So what they've done is they're going to release it without a rating. And the AMC theaters, to their credit, have announced that they're going to treat it like an R movie, which isn't ideal because usually you have to have a parent accompany or guardian accompany you into the theater if you're under 17 to see an R-rated movie. But they are allowing you to download a permission slip off of their website, the AMC theaters website. Get your parent to sign that, bring it to the theater, and it will be as if they've given their consent and you get to see it.
Yeah, why not?
Which I think is great. And that's just an alteration to their policy that they think
because
that this movie is
important
enough that kids should be able to see it. And the Parents Television Council, which is a very fancy name for a small band of wingnuts who want people to do whatever they want people to do, mm-hmm. basically. This is an offshoot of this group with the same people who were boycotting JCPenney because they had an openly lesbian spokesperson in Ellen DeGeneres.
Well, they're trying to convert people to lesbianism,
right.
I think is what JCPenney's
doing. I'm not suggesting this needs to be settled with violence. I'm far from suggesting that. But I think that the Garmy and you got like 40,000 Twitter followers.
We are 40,000 strong, yes.
I think you could take on the PTC's 2,000.
I think so, too.
I think you'd be fine.
with bottle rockets.
Whatever it takes.
And, you know, 2x4s with nails in them. Or whatever.
Look, whatever.
Or strongly worded letter. I'm just saying, there are options out there. There's all kinds of options. So it's been an interesting day.
They're on the losing side of this battle. I think the public opinion is that this is an important movie that's trying to shine light on a serious problem. Why should we stand in the way of that?
Got a great email from listener Steve. I won't give his full name because I don't want to compromise his identity. But he says, I used to work for AMC for many years. And I know for a fact they also bent their rules for the rating of The Passion of the Christ, which at the time had an R rating.
Huh.
Yes, and nobody complained about this.
Interesting.
In fact, most people complimented theaters for allowing young people to see this movie because it was important, in quotes.
Because they didn't want them to whitewash how dreadful crucifixions were.
Right.
Interesting choice. That's a great example.
Another listener sent me an email and said, I belonged to a church where a busload of seven-year-olds was taken to see The Passion of the Christ with a pastor, not with anyone's parents. And
pretty
the theater let
movie.
Them in. Yeah. Yeah. It's a snuff film. Basically, yes. That's what that is.
Yep. It's a guy getting beaten the crap out of for 2 hours.
And no one really complained about that. I'm just saying. Everyone's got their point of view. And that's why you can't put down, you can't lay down the law and start telling people what to do. Because you have your exceptions and these people have their exceptions. And we live in a mostly free world here in the United States where people can do what they want if they're an individual or a private business. Anyway, I applaud AMC for what they're doing. Good stuff.
What about the butt?
That's an excellent question. What about the butt? Michelle Williams has been single for a long time, since the passing of Heath Ledger. She's raising that adorable little kid, Matilda, on her own. But apparently it looks like she might have found someone. She is dating her longtime friend Jason Segel, according to Us Weekly magazine.
No kidding.
Yeah. I think they're a good couple.
Yeah.
Source close to the couple said they are smitten and very serious. And they've been seen out and about a bunch in the past couple months. People are taking photos of them leaving dates, it seems like. And it looks like they're very, very happy. So I hope that's the case. Because I know she's been a very dedicated mom and working a lot and has been single for a long time. So hope this works out for her.
He seems like a really great guy.
He seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike Alicia Silverstone.
Well.
Man, this really bugs me.
Just, you know, people do it different ways.
No. No, Lisa. I'm gonna PTC all over this, and I'm gonna say no. Don't pre-chew your kids' food.
You cut it up for them, right?
You know, I saw the video just that was on the internet yesterday, but it's a video of Alicia Silverstone, star of Clueless and Batman and Robin, chewing the food for her 11-month-old son Bear Blue before she spits it into his mouth. And
does
then
she literally?
She grabs his head, he opens his mouth, and she
like
looks
bird.
Like they're French kissing.
Oh,
she drops the food
no.
into his mouth.
That video is up at KROQ.com for people who want to see it.
We have it up at KROQ.com. I'm going to check it out. That is, first of all, seems deeply unsanitary to me. And I know the bond between parent and child. Trust me, I know. My baby girl had a horrible head cold this past week and didn't stop me when she handed me her little toy saxophone for me blowing on it for entertainment. So I understand that you forgive and forgo certain hygienic concerns when you're dealing with your own kid. But come on.
What
come
about
on.
What Lisa asked, which is how different is it from chopping up their food and handing it to them on a
Well, it's the spitting part, really.
Yeah, I think so.
But saliva's not going to hurt a kid.
But I'm just saying it seems like you're going the extra mile. You're going so far out of your way. Are times tough in the Silverstone household? They can't afford a blender or a food processor? Or, you know, does she have to resort to chewing the food up before spitting it into the kid's mouth?
Look,
baby food, I'm saying. There is baby food, and there's a way to take regular people food and to mince it up into a easily digestible paste for an
11-month-old. I think it's kooky, and I'd never do it. I never even thought of doing it, but I don't think that there's any harm to the child that this is how mom is feeding.
Well, we'll see how you feel when they're sitting on the same side of the booth at Denny's next time you're in there, Bean. And then you tell me when she's chewing up the cud that is her Moons Over My Hammy and dripping it in the Bear Blue's mouth. You let me know how you feel about it then.
That's gross.
That is way gross. Today's celebrity birthdays: Reba McEntire is 57 years old. Salt and Peppa's Salt is 46. Brett Ratner's 43. Vince Vaughn turns 42 today. Julia Stiles is 31. And Lady Gaga turns 26. That's the celebrity birthdays for today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Mr. Garman. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Looking forward to this. Dr. Drew stops by. Maybe we'll ask him not only about how you feed your baby out of your own mouth, but about the hot new trend, thanks to Mad Men's January Jones, of eating your own placenta.
Yeah. What if you pre-chew the placenta and feed it to your kids?
I think we may have to take some calls.
Let's combine all of it.
From women who have done the placenta thing tomorrow on the show, and we will run it by Dr. Drew. You'll be happy to know that Russ Leatherman joins us tomorrow, Ralph. He is Mr. Movie Phone.
He is the gay bondage expert, right? Russ Leatherman?
I believe he has seen the Bully movie, and he has some thoughts on how this whole thing is playing out. It'll be interesting to hear what his take is on that tomorrow. And as you know, every week we're doing everything we can to get community some ratings. It's a great show. It deserves to be on the air. Every week we have a new community star tomorrow. I can't wait. Gillian Jacobs is going to be here on the program tomorrow.
Come on with her,
right?
Come on with her.
That's all tomorrow, right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous...